about. We gotta put it in
perspective. I don't need no fancy introduction. I'm not Elvis Presley. Let's just get on with it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
www.ladiesgoodhealthmag.com/sex-relationships/867-599-904/9432&2.html. Do you know that site?
I think we're getting caught up in the details.
I know you guys haven't had dates in a long time.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's not true.
I have a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend.
You just started that sentence by saying, I have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I just wanted to hear what it would sound like coming out of my mouth.
Such an inappropriate time to experiment with that.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get your thoughts about all the honeybees dying off, which is a result of all the pesticides that they put in all these pesticides?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Frankly, it's making me uncomfortable.
Roll another one.
And here are the monkeys.
Just like the other one.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What are we not going to eat anymore? Oreos.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. Am I on the air?
Roll another one.
I'm so excited.
Just like the other one.
What it is,
soul brother.
This one seems to be a
A girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
That's a good question.
Good morning, douchebag.
Just pass it around.
Hello. The ladies love me.
I'm not comfortable with that analogy.
I just pass it on down.
Hold on. My button's stuck here. Hang on a second.
All right, we'll hold. Not in a rush.
There we go. All right. I got it.
Okay.
And now.
Why is this man wearing no pants?
The answer will surprise you.
Our feature presentation.
Worth it.
I never want to know why the buttons are sticky on my laptop.
Oh, because you know.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't know what you were thinking. I wasn't thinking
oh,
at all.
Oh, please.
I'm seeing germs everywhere these days, guys.
Yeah.
I think I'm going through that phase where I'm starting to see germs on all things. Like the whole world to me now looks like that Dateline NBC show with the black light in the hotel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where every time you touch a thing, you go, oh,
right, but
dude.
All that didn't just start. It's been that way forever.
He's
I
been
know.
Out in the world this week, though, so I think it's different.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I've been out in the world, and I'm becoming aware of there are too many goddamn grimy people on this earth. So I don't like it.
Okay. Not sure what to do about that, but okay.
How's everybody? It's Friday. What's going on? How's everybody?
I'm glad it's Friday.
We are good.
Because both of you are hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
And I need you, as soon as the show is over, to crawl into bed.
Yeah.
Have some liquids. Do lots of pee-pees. Not in bed. Get out for that.
Oh, okay.
But I need you to feel better.
Yeah. What's happening?
I was trying to give you some advice.
A little pep talk?
Yeah. Okay. Then it just sounded like you were going to pee the bed.
Yeah.
So that's not what we want.
It's happened.
I got a great story to get us... Get us started. You did pee the bed this week or you did not?
I'm just kidding.
Okay. I got a great story to get us started today, you guys. I think you're going to like. Kevin, you weren't here a couple of days ago because of your new 3 days a week schedule, but we brought the listeners the story of the woman who is apparently not only making a living, but making a damn fine living taking professional penis photos. That's her job, is she goes around, people hire her, and she takes professional portraits of your penis, and she dresses it up like, Donald Trump or... or George Washington, or, you know, if it were me,
Don
Shaquille
King.
O'Neal. Yeah. So they can do, you can dress up whatever you want and have the, and that's what she's doing for a living. And I thought that was going to be the weirdest thing that I heard all week long in terms of way to make a living. Until I met this man via CNN, whose name is Jamie Keaton. He lives in suburban Chicago. He has an unusual medical condition that he has turned into a full-time living.
Take note, viewers. I'm not pulling your leg. This guy is for real. He's canhead.
All right. He is canhead.
Canhead.
What comes to mind when I'm about to introduce you to a man named Canhead?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was Buckethead, which is, you know, he's wearing it on his head. But how does can
he open cans with his head?
Okay, that's a good guess. Come to mind?
I don't know. No.
All right.
One Coke
and that
a full Coke.
Full Coke. And that, it just sticks to your head?
It just sticks to me.
Okay, so he's taking cans of beverages or anything and just putting them on his bald head. And his head, he's like a human suction cup.
And is the things, like magnetic, or it sucks into it?
It sucks into it. It's not just
It's not. It doesn't have to be metal. It has
no.
Nothing.
He can do it with. He can do it with glass. He can do it with plastic. He can do it with anything. His whole body is a suction cup. He can stick anything to his body, and it will stay.
Imagine a guy with my size head being able to do that.
Right.
This guy's got a pretty big head.
Wow.
Let's find out some more about it.
To my whole body.
Why?
They don't really know.
One doctor told him it's because of his abnormally high body temperature. He is always at 100 degrees, and that somehow turns his skin into a total body suction cup.
23 years ago, I shaved my head for the first time, and I was at a ball game. I was trying to cool my head down because it was a hot day, and all of a sudden they hit a home run. I went up to grab it, missed it, and then I was like, where's my drink? Everybody was laughing because it was stuck to the back of my head.
That's how he found out that he could stick things to his head.
This cannot be possible.
No way.
It is true. I'm looking at the
source.
Video. I saw the interview.
What's the source?
Well, it's only CNN. That's the only source. I'm sorry.
.co.uk?
Nope. The real CNN.
All right.
This isn't in the story, but I did some additional research because, you know, not enough details. There have been 3 cases of this in the world that have been recorded in, you know, for medicine. 2 of them are in India, and he is the only one in the United States. Now, we'll find out more about James and also how he's making a living being a canhead.
He has now parlayed this very unusual ability into a bit of worldwide fame. Just last week in China, he set a record for being the greatest can head of all time.
All right, so he's... there are a lot of pretenders to the crown.
There's a competition?
Apparently so. But, I mean, if you don't have this medical condition, how do you even play on that field? I mean, it seems like the only people who would be eligible for the greatest can head of all time would be the 3 dudes that have it, right?
Yes.
But I saw, you know, pictures of him with George Clooney and pictures of him with all sorts of celebrities. He's on The Tonight Show and everything. So he's famous for it.
And he will soon be in the Guinness Book of World Records. He and his suction cup head have met the famous, and suddenly the money is rolling in.
Now it's turned into a business where I actually promote people's companies all the time, different companies, just to wear their name on my cans or on the shirts.
And he's got a football jersey that's laid on the chair behind him that's can head is what it says on the back where the name would be, and of course number 69 because that's the kind of guy he
sure.
is. But yeah, he does promotional appearances where they can, you know, stick the product on his head, or he'll wear the t-shirt and stick products on your head. So he's making it work, man.
Canhead Keaton says he can make up to $1,000 a day and even $8,000 for a weekend of renting out his head. And I'm not faking it when I try to pull this can of peanuts off Jamie's dome. Oh, and by the way, he doesn't just latch onto cans and bottles.
It doesn't have to be a can.
There's a cell phone.
Some that flat, even. I just go like this, and it sticks.
And boom.
This is where I use hands-free.
Empty cans, full cans, bottles of vodka, and no kidding, I swear he's for real.
He's for real. Now, if you could be a can head,
yes.
would you be?
Right?
I mean,
never lose your keys.
My key card.
Right?
Yeah. Just carry everything around on your head.
Oh,
that's
Kevin.
The best idea ever. How do I get to do that?
By the way, he
Is there
wasn't
a school
joking.
Or training?
He wasn't joking about that's how he does hands-free cell phone driving. Which I think is hilarious.
He just sticks it on his face.
So, anyway, so that's one guy's story.
Wow.
I wonder, though.
Okay, here's a question.
All right.
Can Canhead kiss?
Ken had kiss because I the mean, girl would be sucked to
she'd
him?
She'd be stuck. Like, you literally have to pull stuff off of him.
He could kiss once, and it would be forever.
I don't know. That is actually a good question. They didn't get into that. So we can try to get Ken Head
Let's
on the phone.
Let's get Ken Head. We need Ken Head. Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
There you go.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Me Show, shall we?
Enough of your jibber jabber.
We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have comedian Eddie Ift in studio, who we love and who gets us in trouble every time he comes in. That's why we like him. We also have somebody, a listener, who is going to be on Hell's Kitchen.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is the cooking show where the dude yells at people and calls them names?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, she's actually going to be on the show, oddly enough. So she emailed us and said, hey, how about if I come in and do an interview? We're like, all right, why not?
I hope she's okay. Because he berates you. He really beats you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's already filmed her episode. We just haven't seen it yet.
I assume that all of those shows are like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I think David said they're on the second episode.
Okay.
Who's David?
Dave.
Oh, okay. RJ Bell from Las Vegas, talking about the playoffs this weekend, four teams left, and the creator of The X-Files. Very excited about this. Chris Carter will be joining us in studio at 7 a.m. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:57.
It is Friday morning. Our friend Ralph Garman joins us with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Got the perfect new job for Beer Mug.
All right.
Just found out this morning. Uber Eats. Where Uber drivers deliver food to your house.
But.
Yeah!
That's hot!
That's true.
He would eat it on the way there.
You got to put it in a lockbox. They got to lock it up when they put it in the car and then have the other person on the other end have a key somehow.
It'd be the only Uber Eats with an armed guard that would have to travel. It'd be like one of those Brinks trucks. One of those armored cars where they have a staff of people with weapons.
Yeah! That's hot!
Apparently in 10 cities, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Austin, and more will feature dozens of local restaurants you can order from, and then Uber will pick up your food and bring it to
you. Yummy!
We are just rapidly heading towards the day when we're all just giant gelatinous mounds sitting in our living room, people shoveling food in our mouths and driving us places and mowing our lawns and picking up our dog poo.
Does seem like people are making it easier and easier to not move ever.
And your complaint with that is?
We'll all be bean. That's my complaint.
Right.
What could be more of a complaint? Congratulations, Mariah Carey and her Australian billionaire boyfriend, James Packer, are engaged. Well, how do you say
Packer?
No?
Packer? Is his name Peck?
Packer.
Oh, okay.
She's full-on crazy, right?
Yes, and he is crazier because he wants to marry it.
It.
The crazy.
Yeah.
But as you can imagine, she said yes. The minute she saw that 35-carat diamond ring he gave her.
Wow, that's
35 carats.
I'm no gemologist, but that is a big honking diamond.
I think so. Guys, if you're as rich as Mariah Carey is, and she has to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars, do you marry for money? I would say no.
No, I would guess not.
Let me tell you something. I don't know how many millions you have, but when you meet a billionaire who has multiple billions of dollars,
It's better.
It's better.
Yeah. I feel like you have nothing.
Your head gets turned. I'm sorry. I don't think she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, by the way.
Really?
You don't think so, huh?
I feel like she might be, but you could be right.
But a billionaire who fulfills your every dream. He's building her the Mariah Museum, by the way, in Vegas with his billions.
Wow.
I think she wants to. I think she wants to ride this gravy train. Right up to that big bowl of gravy that she wants to eat. Because she likes to eat a lot of gravy.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. Hugh Hefner's ego may be bigger than his bank account. He's got an offer on the Playboy Mansion. But the buyer will only buy it if Hef moves out. And you know the deal was Hef stays until he dies. That's the rule. You buy the house and then you just kind of have to... Just walk gingerly past the master bedroom because you don't want to wake Hef up.
It's the weirdest deal ever.
Yes.
The buyer said, I will buy the mansion for its asking price, but Hef has to move out. By the way, Hef also gets to approve the buyer. He gets to say yes or no, and he apparently will say no to this potential owner. Larry Flint is the name of the man who wants to buy the mansion.
No. Yes. Right.
Wants to buy the mansion, but he said he'll only buy it if Hef moves out.
Oh, my God.
That's and the ultimate troll job.
It is.
It is.
And Hef hates Flint, and so there's no way they say he'll ever sign off on that, even though he's willing to offer it, give the asking price. So.
That is hilarious.
He should offer the money and let Hef stay, because that would be a nightmare for Hef.
Two of them, that'd be the perfect sitcom.
Yes, so
one's a million, one's in a wheelchair. Together, they're oldie and roly. Coming this fall on CBS.
I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Diane Lane. Is there anyone as lovely and talented as Diane Lane?
She sure is.
She's the best. She's 51. DJ Jazzy Jeff, he's also 51. Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses, of course, 51 years old. Guy Fieri, the TV chef, is 48. Balthazar Getty is 41. He's the only Balthazar I know. I don't know a lot of Balthazars. You have any friends named Balthazar?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And actor Christopher Masterson is 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, it's Friday, you guys. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Who's it with? Who's the movie with?
I don't know. I didn't hear.
I couldn't hear either.
That was on me.
Nope.
Thank you, Bean.
So.
Look, Kevin's trying to guess when I'm done. He didn't know I was going to say with Ralph.
His Garman. Out is usually movie beat, but
right.
I did jump the gun.
I'm sorry.
All right. He could have waited for you to stop talking.
Wait, let's all blame him, though.
Why?
Because.
You did it.
More fun that way.
The guy's going to die. Give him a break. He's down to his last breath. Have some sympathy. All right, let's take a look at what's new in the theaters this weekend. Few films in limited release, a couple major releases. We'll start with the smaller films first, the ones you're going to have to look for a little bit harder if you want to check out. Like Mojave, you know how it is when you don't want to commit suicide and you go into the desert and then you find your doppelganger who looks exactly like you and he's a homicidal drifter. You know that? You've had that experience, right?
Like only about five or six times.
Yeah. Well, that's what Mojave's all about. Oscar Isaac stars.
Oh, ooh,
he's great. Glad he's parlaying his Star Wars fame into a major movie career with Mojave about a homicidal doppelganger.
But two Oscar Isaacs?
Right?
Right?
Garrett Hedlund also stars Walton Goggins, who you know, of course, from The Shield.
Love him so much.
And currently The Hateful Eight. And Mark Wahlberg. What? No! He's also in this film. Here are some clips from the trailer of Mojave.
Which brings us to what are you thinking about in the desert?
I'm thinking some guy just walked in pretending to be the devil.
What happened in the desert?
You have a beautiful wife and child.
Brother, what do you want?
Everything you got. And I am going to kill you.
You want to play?
Game on, brother.
I'm not your brother.
Yeah!
Ah!
I don't think that's
I felt like it was.
Exposed opens up this weekend, again in limited release.
I really thought that was.
Nope. Story of a police detective who's investigating the truth behind his partner's death.
Because it seemed a little scary.
As he researches the case, he uncovers police corruption and a dangerous secret involving an unlikely young woman. Exposed stars Ana de Armas. You may not know, but she's lovely and talented. Keanu Reeves, Christopher McDonald, Mira Sorvino, also in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer of Exposed.
He had a lot of enemies, and unfortunately, his dirt caught up with him. I know he was your partner.
I know he took money from dealers.
He did more than that, but I don't want my Joey's name tarnished, okay?
He's dead. He's dead. She's dead. But somebody knows something. There's this girl. She knows what happened. What am I going to do? Bring her in?
Your partner was not a good guy.
We're dropping the investigation.
You're not going to go after his killer.
You're not going to drop this, are you? I can't.
I can't? Whoa.
No superheroes so far? No toy spinoffs so far? I'm very confused by this weekend.
Well, I'm glad you brought up toys, Bean. Because you know that old story where you go to an English family's manor home?
To take your life and your doppelganger is there?
No, this time you're a nanny. You're an American nanny.
Okay.
And you're going to an English manor house to take care of the family's boy. Mm-hmm. And then when you get there, they tell you, well, it's not so much a boy as it is a life-size doll.
That you're going to nanny?
Yeah, you're going to be the nanny for the doll. Oh, the doll likes you. Why don't you be the nanny? We've had a lot of nannies, and he never liked them, but he likes you. Right?
And someone anywhere said yes to that?
Sure. Lauren Cohen does in this film.
A job's a job, Kevin. Come on.
Now, there is a strict list of rules you must follow.
Okay.
Like, don't feed it after midnight. Don't get it wet.
Those are gremlins.
I thought that was the gremlins.
I'm not really sure what the rules are, but I'm sure they're probably something like that. Well, if you break the rules, the boy gets you.
The doll?
The boy's the doll?
Yes.
Okay.
Hence the name of the film, The Boy.
Right.
Here's a scene from The Boy where some dude is telling Lauren Cohen, our star, the myth that surrounds The Boy.
A little girl from town used to come out here once a week to play with Brahms. Emily Cribbs. And on his birthday, she comes out and never makes it home. They finally found her body in the woods. Her skull had been crushed. Please call the heel shoes to let them know the Brahms would need to be questioned. By the time they arrived, the place was already up in flames. If this thing is some kind of spirit, I am not sure that it is the good kind.
Well, you said yourself that's just pub talk.
But what if it isn't?
A lot of whispering.
Are there any movies where people are allowed to speak at a normal volume this week?
Yes. In fact, I'm glad you asked, Bean.
Wow, this is working well.
How about a dirty grandpa? I bet he speaks loudly. Oh, Robert De Niro. What's funnier than older people being sexual?
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Nothing. Come on. He's a grandpa, but he also likes ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Boot, boot. Boot, boot. And Robert De Niro, as the grandpa, takes his grandson, the uptight grandson, played by Zac Efron, takes him on a trip to Florida for spring break. See, the young guy's the uptight one, and the old guy, who you'd think would be uptight, he's really the party animal. It's all topsy-turvy. It's a bizarro world. We live in a crazy movie world in this film. Where the old guy is the horny dude, and the young, attractive guy, he's so stiff and, loosen up.
He doesn't even want to go to spring break.
He doesn't want to be there. He wants to go home and get married to his shrewish fiance, who's demanding things from him. I hope he learns an important lesson about life and love from old dirty grandpa.
Grandma's funeral was yesterday.
She told me on her deathbed, you get back out there again.
I just smoked crack!
I don't even know how much I appreciate you doing this for me.
Just get naked.
That's the best way to sleep.
Oh, my God.
I want you to tear open my bra like it's a social security check. Now fumble around and pretend like you're trying to find your glasses.
The greatest gift a grandson can give his grandfather is a hot college girl who wants to have unprotected sex with him before he dies.
Yeah, most grandpas just want toffee or socks.
No, Bean.
What are you doing laughing at that?
It's so silly. It's just so silly.
I want you to tear off my bra like a social security check.
That Aubrey Plaza.
That just happened.
She sure likes old dudes.
Right.
Now pretend like you're trying to find your glasses. See, because he's older. Oh. And that's some things that old people do.
Right.
Oh, this film has everything.
I was laughing at that trailer quietly, and Ralph just glared me down like, I will kill you.
Beam was laughing at it
he
out
was,
loud.
I know.
I was laughing at it because it's so awful.
I'm glad.
I mean, like, I can't believe it's
real. We're both going to go see it.
Both going to die this weekend. I'm glad about that. I think that's what you deserve.
I do love that Aubrey Plaza, and of course, you know about, you know, my love for my sweet Zach, so.
Wow, we were all having fun until right then.
Let's wrap this up with the last film out this weekend, The Fifth Wave, right? Finally, some aliens. Four waves of increasingly deadly alien attacks have left most of the planet Earth decimated. But there's one girl who's on the run. She's trying to save herself and her younger brother. That's Chloe Grace Moretz. Will she be able to beat the aliens in their fifth wave? I don't know. That's the point of the film. You have to go see it. Hope she's got a corny old grandpa, though, to help her. Here's some clips from the trailer of The Fifth Wave.
The waves have begun.
It started.
Coordinated attacks on metropolitan areas.
The others have the ability to inhabit human hosts. They could be anywhere.
The others took my brother. And I'm going to go get him.
I was supposed to fight them if I don't even know what they are.
They took everything from me.
My sister's coming.
Sam! This is our world. This is our home.
Move! Yeah! This is our world.
Not this time, alien.
Fifth wave, last wave. That's what I say to those aliens.
So those are your choices this weekend. You can go see a creepy boy doll who comes to life. Mm-hmm. You can see the aliens attacking. Or you can see Robert De Niro's Summer Home, as I like to call this film.
I missed 19 hours last week, so I think maybe I'll catch up on that. 13 hours.
Is that 6 hours after the film that's currently in theaters? Is that the sequel?
Yeah, it is. I missed 13 hours, so I'm going to go see that.
Well, you're looking for 19 hours. That's the problem. Maybe that's why you missed
it. And then Bede and I are going to Dirty Grandpa together.
Yes, you are. With the popcorn trick. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie, Bede.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Bede.
What is wrong with a coworker wanting to know what's going on in your life?
What is a stalker, Alex, for 400?
What is showing interest in a friend?
That's not interest. That's just weird.
All right, let's bring folks in. Ralph, tell us about your weekend. That's a lifetime dream for you that's coming up this weekend.
I am going to have sex with a bunch of strippers and
nope,
a mound
nope,
of cocaine.
Not that one.
I have a movie that I am one of the stars in that is getting its premiere at the Sundance Film Festival this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I am flying out to Park City, Utah to attend the Sundance Film Festival, and we're going to have doing a bunch of press, and we have the red carpet premiere, and it's going to be awesome. Kevin Smith wrote and directed a film called Yoga Hosers, and we get a chance to premiere this weekend at the Sundance Film Festival. So I have a film opening at Sundance.
Now, other than trying to be funny about all of us coming and crashing your party, how many questions have Bean and I asked you about your trip?
One. Looking forward to it? I think that's the only question either of you guys asked.
How about
Ali? I said, yes, I am. Thank you for your interest, for your normal-sized interest from a coworker.
How about Miss Ally McKay?
I am looking forward to it. Ally McKay's situation is very, very different because it's been a nonstop barrage of questions. So where are you staying? Where are you staying in Park City?
Okay.
I don't know. The production company. The production company's putting us up. I'm not really sure. Well, because I know a lot of the places there, so I'm just wondering where you were staying. I don't know, Allie. I don't know. Well, when are you leaving? When are you leaving to get there?
Time's the flight.
What time's are you leaving? Are you leaving Friday after the show? Are you leaving Friday night? Are you leaving Saturday? Why is this your thing? What? I was just looking at the weather. It's going to be very cold this weekend. What are you? My travel agent? What is your obsession?
It's actually going to snow.
Is that an exaggeration? Did you check the weather?
No. Here's the thing. I did that because it was bothering you. So I started to think of all different
you were
things.
Playing. Oh, I see.
You're
playing along.
No,
it's just a radio character
did,
you're playing.
No, I did ask when you're going because I was interested. Are you going to be there for the Saturday night parties? Because the movie is Sunday, correct?
We're premiering Sunday,
okay.
Yeah.
But stop right there, Allie.
Okay.
What is the possible reason you would need to know that?
Why do you need to know what parties I'm going to when?
Allie is nosy.
That's very true.
That's the problem.
I feel a special connection to Park City because I lived there off and on for 14 years.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. I'm glad you enjoyed your time there. What does it have to do with my trip there?
You're so angry.
I'm not angry. I'm just perplexed.
Do you do with that information? If Ralph says, here's the party I'm going to on Saturday night. I'm going to have dinner with these people over here right afterwards. And then Sunday we got the dinner.
I give you my full itinerary. Yeah. What good does that do you?
I would say, that's a great place you're going to dinner. Why don't you try the steak? They do it well at this place.
Allie is nosy.
Jesus.
Why do you need to be part of this thing that I'm doing?
I don't want to be a part of it. I'm just asking normal questions.
They're not normal at all.
Where are you staying? Maybe I want to map out the fire exits in case something happens. Hey,
yeah, that's normal.
Where are you going to be on this night? Because they're expecting a storm. I know the easiest route in the snow. Things
Allie
like that.
Ralph has the internet, first of all. He's aware of what's going on in the world. But second of all, did I miss the part where he came in the room and said, hey, Allie, you used to live in Park City. You got any tips? tips for me for going this weekend? Did I miss that?
Were there any good restaurants that you could?
I feel like it was implied.
No, it wasn't even implied.
It was nosy.
No.
I asked you for no advice or help or, hey, what, give me some insight. I didn't ask for any of that because I'm a grown ass man and I'll be able to go there and navigate, I think, my weekend just fine.
See, a lot of guys don't ask for directions, so I was trying to make it easy for you before you went. You know, just trying to help.
Just trying to help. Just trying to be positive.
Just trying to be positive.
What kind of void do you have in your own life that you need to fill up with details about other people's plans?
Allie is nosy.
You can't see that.
Allie, it's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird.
That you're over invested in some way in this trip. Don't you see? Can't you see that? It's a little odd.
Does it strike you that none of the rest of us are asking him all these questions?
No, because you don't care.
Right, because Ralph's going to have a great time when he goes, and
well,
good for him, and I can't wait to hear about it.
You know how he could have a better time? If I knew when he was going, then I could say, hey, do you want to go to the ASCAP Music Cafe? Because Sting was there last night. Wouldn't that be fun?
No!
That's Bean saying no.
I've got a full itinerary of things that I'm going to be attending and having to do.
What are they in order?
Like what?
See, that's the thing. You don't need to know.
Let him have his weekend, Allie.
And I don't need
Allie is nosy.
I don't need to go through the effort of having to explain to you the ins and outs of what my weekend's going to be like.
I do find it adorable that I asked, oh, when are you going? And I believe I asked, where are you staying?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, I'm the nosiest human.
No,
in the
that
world.
Is not all you asked.
That's not all you
what
asked.
Else?
First
what
of
else?
All,
what else?
You've asked a ton of questions
like,
about details.
It's just
like,
been nonstop. It's like you're a CIA operative.
Por ejemplo.
But when am I going?
Yeah, when are
is
you
the weirdest
going?
Questions anyone's ever
like,
asked.
What time
me
is your
trip?
Flight?
What time is your flight? Are you leaving after the show on Friday?
Do you
are you leaving
seat?
Friday night? Are you leaving Saturday morning? What about even if I cared what you had to offer about
Park City. You're
going
out of LAX,
City.
Though, or Burbank?
Allie is nosy!
How would your advice had changed if you knew exactly when I was leaving?
Well, if you're going out of Burbank, I would say you shouldn't actually pack your jacket because you have to walk outside and get into the terminal. So you should have your jacket with you.
Ralph has flown before.
I feel like Allie thinks...
places and done things.
I think, like, Allie thinks that Ralph is 6. Like she needs.
She's gonna pin a note to my coat.
Take care of him. Make sure that he gets where he's going.
In case he gets lost, can you please call?
Put a number on there.
Well,
and your defense is always, "Well, I used to live there." Yeah.
If Ralph doesn't show up to dinner, she's gonna put out an Amber Alert. You know that kind of stuff. I think I'm a little worried about this.
Where are you going to dinner, though?
Right. Allie is nosy.
It's what? Just stop. That's all I'm asking.
And now a moment with Bean.
I mean, they are definitely swimming uphill until, as you say, they start winning some championships.
That was a moment with Bean.
Don't you hate when there's a big water mountain in front of you and you just have
worst.
To swim up
swimming
that
uphill,
hill?
Man. That's rough.
It does sound tough, though. You got to admit. Hey, speaking of sports, we'll talk to our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas coming up in about 45 minutes or so to get his picks for the weekend. Ralph, do you think that most Americans want the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl and then lose, or they'd rather them get knocked out this weekend by Denver and not go to the Super Bowl?
I think they want them out as soon as possible.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Don't even give them the excitement and enjoyment of going to the Super Bowl.
No, I don't want to run the risk.
I have a different thing. I want them to win and be at the top of their game and then have Arizona also win and knock them off. That's what I want.
I want them to win.
That's not even an option.
No one gave that option.
Hell. That's not even C on the list.
All right, 6:55, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
David Bowie, the late, great David Bowie. Of course, in the wake of his passing, a ton of new information is coming out about people he worked with, sessions he had in the studios, all kinds of details. This one is one of my favorites. Apparently in 1985, when he was working on the Absolute Beginners soundtrack for that feature film, he was goofing around in the studio, and it turns out he liked to do impressions of other singers when he was recording his songs.
Is that right?
Yes. And you can find this online. I think YouTube has it. But he did this one song he was doing for Absolute Beginners, and he did it. He cut it in a bunch of different versions, doing impressions of singers like Neil Young, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, Tom Waits, and two of my favorites, Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan. Here's David Bowie's the impersonation gifts of David Bowie. First off, here's him doing Springsteen.
From when the fire broke out on the Rio Grande, put my foot to the board and she ate up the sand. With a horse on the south track chilling behind, a fire that aims to please.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
That's not hilarious. Bad.
Wait till you hear his Bob Dylan.
When the fires broke out on the Rio Grande, put my foot to the board and see it as a jam. With a horse in the south, drag to him behind. The fire that ends the fears.
Come on!
So good.
That's awesome.
I just... Why is he gone?
Pretty interesting.
Thank you, Rodney. I thought you might like that as a longtime friend of his. Did you ever take him to any restaurants?
He's a fighter, and he's a winner.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger drives like an American. We know that much for sure. They found that out recently while he was visiting Edinburgh, Scotland, where he, well, it's in his defense, he was riding his bicycle trying to stay in shape, you know. And he forgot that they are on the other side of the street.
Oh, no.
In those situations. And witnesses say he and his bodyguard, who was biking behind him, almost ran into a double-decker bus because they were going the wrong way down the street at the wrong time. That would have been bad.
That would have been bad.
Yeah. But don't you think it would have crumpled around him? Like, it takes more than a double-decker bus to get me. You better get a triple-decker. He would have said something like that.
But not even that way.
Half of his face, but all metallic. And it looks like this is happening. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth back together again and apparently engaged again. She is wearing the gold engagement ring she received from him back in 2012. Of course, they split up. But now reports are saying they are officially engaged again and they are picking up right where they left off. And they are currently trying to find a date for their marriage.
Wow. You know, sometimes both people just aren't in the same place at the same time to go forward. And you need a couple of years off, and now you're ready.
But he had time to realize she's Miley Cyrus.
Right. He had time to sit back and say, wow, look at how much she sticks her tongue out. And look at those, look at her goofy outfits. And look at the Milky Milky Chance song that she released. Woo! Dodged a bullet there, didn't I?
So you're surprised.
Just saying.
Yes.
Just saying
out of the 4 billion women in the world,
yes.
You're surprised
right.
He'd double dip on Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Okay.
There are other options.
I love Miley, but right. I think she would be too much work to date.
Well.
It's exhausting.
For you, yes.
Anyone would be too much
work. She would want to get off the couch.
No, but.
You'd be like, oh, really
doesn't
again?
Doesn't she strike you as a high maintenance, like, kind of crazy girl?
Yes.
Yeah, so ain't nobody got time for that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Masterson celebrates his 36th birthday today. Actor Balthazar Getty is 41. Celebrity chef Guy Fieri is 48. Steven Adler, former Guns N' Roses drummer, is 51 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff is 51. I wonder if Jazzy Jeff is going to the Oscars. You think he'll go? Maybe he'll boycott, too. And actress Diane Lane celebrates her 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
They police us and spy on us. Tell us that makes us safer. We've never been in more danger. Then do something about it, Mulder.
I have seen this before. You're on fire, believing that you're onto some truth, that you can save the world.
This is my life. This is everything I believe in.
You are on dangerous ground here.
I know what I'm doing.
Dude, it's the return of The X-Files, a two-night season premiere beginning this Sunday night on Fox right after the NFC Championship game, and then again Monday night at 8, which is going to be its regular night. We are so excited to welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show our friend Chris Carter, the creator of The X-Files. Hey, Chris!
Hello, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
I love that you're traveling with your dogs, man. That is, you're a baller, man.
I mean, that's a baller.
That's a real testament to your station in life. If you can go into somebody else's job and bring your dogs, you know you're cool.
I got to tell you, though, just hearing you say the words, I am a baller, means you're not a baller. You're just not. You're everything else, but you're not a baller.
Are you one of those guys who likes to take them every place you can, or could you just not get anyone to watch them today?
Yeah, that was the I couldn't get anyone to watch.
Gotcha. Well, how are you feeling, Chris? You're finally here. You've been talking about it and working on it for so long, and the weekend is finally here. How are you feeling? You excited, nervous, exhausted? What are you?
All those things.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's nerve-wracking, and it's you hope the ratings are out there. The truth is out there.
So it was on for 9 seasons.
Yes.
How do you gauge the interest?
You know, there's a hardcore fan base out there, and they wanted it back, and
we are a part of.
Yep, thank you. And we had a 20th reunion at Comic-Con 3 years ago, and you know, the fans said bring it back to television, and Fox was listening.
And Fox came to you and said, why don't we try this?
Yeah, Fox. I got a call out of the blue. I just thought it was talk. Fox called me out of the blue and said, we want to do this, and the actors are interested. So, obviously, they'd...
And by Fox, you mean Fox Mulder.
Fox Mulder, exactly. 21st century Fox Mulder.
So, they called you and asked you to do it. What was your thought?
When I heard the actors wanted to do it, I immediately wanted to do it.
Okay, so you're
ready.
Oh,
wow. Because there are some writers who feel like I've been there, done that. You know, that was a part
right.
of my life, and
right.
it's in the past, and I can't improve upon it. I don't want to go back and revisit that. But obviously, there's certainly still plenty of stories to tell.
Yes.
And as you have pointed out recently on the chat circuit, the nation is so different now. The government is so different now. It's almost like you've got so many more things you can draw from.
Exactly. It's we live in a scary time, and the government has admitted they're spying on us, and no one seems to care, of course.
Except for Fox. That's what I'm saying.
Right, Fox Mulder.
Now, how many episodes are there? You said there's 6?
Yes, 6.
And then if it goes well or no?
If it goes well, I'm sure they'll ask us to do more. Yes.
You film in Vancouver again, Chris?
Yes, we went back to Vancouver, which was a really nice homecoming. We kind of put the band back together as much as possible with the writing team, with the director of photography, production designer. It was just great to go home again where we had, put Vancouver on the map, and I think ourselves on the map, too.
What was that like, that first day on set? Did you have a big cake, like, welcome back, balloons?
Everyone wants to know, if it was backslapping, and, you know, the truth is you've got so much work to do mm-hmm. that you hit the ground running, and everyone had put those shoes on for 202 hours of television. So,
wow.
We were comfortable and ready to go.
Just yeah. like the old days.
It was
just like you had never taken
it. Yeah, honestly, it was like a 14-year commercial break.
That's so interesting.
It's a lot of commercials doing this, yeah. to be honest.
What, was it at all difficult for Dave and Jillian to step back into those FBI shoes?
I don't think, maybe a few blisters, but no, the shoes fit.
Jillian and Scully is still a buzzkill.
Yeah. What do you mean, Kevin? Wait,
she's
what are you talking
kill.
About?
She's always telling him he's wrong. Always.
Well, is she wrong?
Well, not always, but okay. For God's sakes, come on now. You're a dangerous ground.
But don't you need some yin and some yang, though?
She's a buzzkill.
Yes.
Standing by that.
Chris, this is the voice of Chris Carter here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about the X-Files returning on Fox after the NFC Championship game on Sunday night. Chris, you obviously were interested enough in this topic to write and create these characters and write a lot of these episodes and shepherding the other. Where are you personally on this stuff? Is this something like in the years since the X-Files went off the air that you have continued to, like, are you a guy, if I looked in your internet browser, would it frighten me? How much time you're still kind of going down the rabbit hole on some of these things?
Yeah, the government spying on me and they don't like what this is.
Or do you just, or were you able to kind of leave that behind and personally it didn't interest you all that much in the years?
No, it interested me. I went to conventions, I read a lot. I've got friends who are interested in this. So, all this kind of fringe conspiracy theory is very interesting to me, and it's found its way into these 6 new episodes.
Do you get the extreme nut jobs, though, that come up to you and say, oh, man, you'll never believe what the government's doing, and those are just craziness?
I get a lot of that, but there's a lot of plausible theories out there as well, and so we try to cherry pick.
I can't even imagine the nut jobs that have tried to reach out to you over the years and the packages that have shown up at the studio for you with guys who are saying, all right, finally, I know somebody who can get this truth out to the wider world. Your mail must be interesting, Chris, is what I'm saying.
It takes a nut job to know a nut job.
Do you think that if an alien came down for reals, the government would kill it?
You know, Hillary Clinton said that she thinks aliens have come down. So who knows what the government will do if, in fact, Hillary Clinton becomes president.
Wow.
What if Hillary's an alien? Right?
I never thought of that.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Chris.
Episode 7.
Chris, what are you doing out at the Grove today?
I'm standing next to a crashed UFO. it missed the off ramp and it crashed there at the Grove.
Which happens.
I feel like I would have heard about that.
So this is a fan event. This is people can come down and see you and see the UFO.
Yes, they can, and it's a beautiful UFO. It's it's a contemporary, I should say, late model UFO.
All right. Is it a real one from your collection, or is it something your movie magic people made up?
Yes, no, it's a real one from my collection. They put it on a semi, kind of like the space shuttle. They brought it down there.
I love it. All right, so today from 1 until 2 o'clock, you can see a UFO crash landing being unveiled by Chris Carter himself in anticipation of the big two-night premiere of The X-Files this Sunday and Monday. And that is at the Grove in L.A. If you want to come down and see Chris in person, we'll take a quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. He is the director, writer, executive producer, and creator of The X-Files, returning to TV on Fox this Sunday night after the NFC Championship game. We're talking to our friend Chris Carter in studio. Chris, how much surfing do you miss when all of a sudden now you got to work on this show for 6 episodes? That must have been painful for you.
It is painful. And then I went to go surfing the other day, and the water's really dirty, so I still haven't gotten in the water for months now.
No.
Months?
In a perfect world, you are an everyday surfing kind of guy, right?
If possible, yeah.
If possible, sure. Yeah, that's your dream. All right, let's talk about Sunday night. So, I mean, you got a lot of people going to be tuning in who've heard of the X-Files, maybe haven't seen it, and you've got the longtime fans who are dying to see it, where it goes now that it's come back. How do you what can you tell us about Sunday night, and how do you straddle those two worlds?
We re-engage. We play the actors and the characters in real time, so the passage of time, we account for their lives together. Last time we saw them, they were together under the same roof. They are no longer boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
They had a kid, though, right?
They do have a kid.
Are people who didn't watch the episode going to be able to keep up?
Yes. We catch them up in the first several minutes. We don't abuse the hardcore fan with that, but it'll really catch the casual viewer and the newbie.
I am obviously delighted to see so many of the original cast members back, to see David and see Jillian, see Mitch Pileggi as Director Skinner, and William Davis, the Smoking Man, is back. Yes. But we were so intrigued as news started coming out as you were filming this thing about some of the new people you brought on, and some of them were real surprises, like our friend Joel McHale. It wouldn't have automatically come to mind if that was, but tell us how it happened.
We were looking around. We had some ideas, but I saw Joel do the Washington Correspondents' Dinner, and he was so funny, had such great timing that I cast him really off that.
Is that right? Wow. You just thought, hey, I'm going to put that guy on the show?
Yeah. I mean, he was perfect for this character we had written, which is a kind of Alex Jones, Glenn Beck sort of character.
He is great on this, too. But isn't it amazing that there are people who watch Alex Jones and believe everything he says?
You don't?
No!
I mean 75%.
He's more of a Breitbart kind of guy, I think.
People are, if somebody says it on TV or on a website, there are a certain number of people out there who are going to automatically believe it. You can say anything you want and get a certain amount of people to believe it.
Yeah, welcome to welcome to the media today.
Well, true. Tell us about Kamal.
Oh, Kamal, Kamal has a podcast called The X-Files Files. He was a natural. He had invited some of the writers onto the show, so we invited him onto our show.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's very funny. And
Did you do his show too or no?
I have not done his show yet.
Now, I've been looking online, and he's getting blamed for the breakup of Mulder and Scully. Like, somehow he got into your brain and said, you need to separate these two.
Yeah, he did, actually. Yes, my brain has been infected by the Pakistani Kamal Nanjiani.
We now know.
What was your thinking about that? Just to move the story along, and that's basically what probably would have happened?
Basically, yes.
It doesn't sound like they were good parents. From the trailer that I saw.
Well, they did have to give up the kid to save the kid, so he becomes a kind of absent center in the show, right?
Oh, okay. So we do address that. We do talk about that.
Yes.
What's the level of interest you think in the audience of watching a guy smoke out of a hole in his neck? Because I feel like people are down with it. I think they like it.
I think they like it, too. I think they it's a sort of twisted take on this character, who everyone thought was dead, by the way. But we, in the final episode, actually show you why he survived the sure death.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I was just so happy to see Smoking Man again. I don't know why.
I don't know why. I saw Smokey Man. I was like, yes.
Okay, yes.
We're back.
Exactly. Chris, it has come up in recent interviews as you've been out promoting the show that you also have written a third movie.
Yep.
Was that just not having any idea whether it would ever be made just because it was something you wanted to do creatively?
Yeah, I wanted to sort of keep the characters alive in my head and sort of see what we – maybe get an idea of how we might approach a third movie if there were ever to be one. But, you know, the third movie would be a – if it were my – choice, a giant big screen movie, much more like the first movie than the second movie. I think if we're going to certainly do a summer movie, we need to do a big tentpole movie.
And is that daunting?
That's exciting to me. I was, you know, if you could get the budget, it would be a very exciting way to tell an X-File.
What do you think of the way television and movies have changed since you last were doing it on a weekly basis?
Television's changed so much. I mean, it's dominated by cable and now streaming, and the networks have taken a little bit of a backseat to those platforms. So that's changed a lot. Reality TV, even though there's still a lot of it out there, it was when I left in 2002, it was dominating. You know, all the good time slots were reality TV time slots. That's no longer the case. Some great dramas out there. You know, people are calling it the new golden age of television. I think that there are really, you know, there are masterpieces, Breaking Bad being one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about technology, special effects,
stuff
like that? Is it easier now?
That's ever-changing. And now special effects, we were in the sort of, you know, prehistoric days when we started this show. Now you can do the most amazing effects, you know, for a buck. And that's not to say
for
that—
For literally a dollar?
Well, I mean—
That's awesome.
Don't tell 20th Century Fox.
You charge the network 20, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And the kickbacks, too.
All right. So what are we hoping for? Are we hoping for the game to end on time Sunday night? Would that be better for you, Chris?
I'm not sure how that works.
But, we don't want to screw people up who set it up on their DVR. That's what I'm saying. Because I got hosed on Saturday Night Live last weekend with a football game. So.
Yeah, you know, that can happen. But
it's the NFC Championship, so as long as that game goes, it goes.
So
then that follows.
Exactly. So people should watch. Watch the game and then watch us.
Watch that. Here's what I do. I set up to record the X-Files plus like 3 hours just in case.
Well, the safe side.
Yes.
All right. So that's Sunday night, and then we'll see the rest of the episodes Monday nights at 8. That's going to be the regular time on Fox. One more time again for today, though, for people who want to meet Chris in person and see a real-life UFO. You can do it at the Grove today from 1 o'clock. You'll be there from 1 until 2. The UFO crash landing will be unveiled by Chris Carter to celebrate the return of the X-Files. We're very excited. I know you've worked very hard for a very long time, you and your whole team. Did I hear it's like 500 people to put this show on is how many are working for you?
Yeah, amazing.
It's unbelievable. All comes to a head this Sunday night. And we can't wait, Chris. Thanks so much for coming in, man.
Thanks, you guys.
Our friend comedian Eddie Ift will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Stick around for that. First, though, this from Facebook and the Kevin and Bean page. Mark writes in, dudes, RJ Bell is the man. I am winning free money because of him, and his jingle is my all-time favorite. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ
RJ is in Las Vegas with pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. How are you today, sir? Happy Friday.
You know something, that jingle on Twitter, I would say a third of the replies associated with you guys has quotes and it says, Causey's RJ Bell. So you guys have done something there.
RJ, hey. Because no one here is going to bring it up except for me because I care. How you doing in the playoffs?
You know something? It's kind of a coincidence you asked that. Uh-huh. 6-2.
You're
6-2.
6-2.
Way to go.
Some would call that 75%.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Some would.
And here's the way I'm figuring. There's 3 games left.
Yeah.
So we're guaranteed a profitable. I can't lose for the playoffs.
That's right.
So I'm relaxed now. That means look out.
All right. A winning record last week. RJ went 3-4. He just missed the Cardinals -7 versus the Packers. That was the only one you missed, but you got the other. So now we just have 4 teams left. Where do you want to start? AFC or NFC today, RJ?
You know, we're going to force picks in both these games. The first one, though, let's start in the NFC. Don't like this one as much. So this will be it still will count in the records, but a lean. I do like the AFC better. So let's kind of build up to that.
All right.
And what we're going to do here is actually make the case for Arizona first, but the pick is actually going to be Carolina. So we'll kind of look at both teams because we only got two games this week.
Right.
So we look at Arizona, 14-3 this year. Great record. And I think it's very impressive that in those three losses, they were -9 in turnovers. You might say, well, that doesn't sound impressive. But turnovers have a lot of luck to them, and you just can't win in the NFL if you turn the ball over a bunch. So the fact is, it seems like the only time Arizona can lose is when they really get unlucky with the turnovers, which is a good thing about the team. It's a very positive thing. And actually, the success of Arizona is extended back even past this year. If you look at Carson Palmer, their quarterback, when he starts for Arizona, last 32 times, 27-5. Straight up. But here's the negative. In week 17, didn't look good against Seattle. They got dominated. And last week, they didn't look good. As you mentioned, they didn't cover. Another thing that would point us to, I think, Arizona a little bit is Carolina has a great record, no doubt, only one loss. But back to turnovers, they were plus 20 on the season. The second best team in the NFL was plus 14. So when it comes to turnovers, there is that luck factor. So the case could be made, and I think it's legitimate, that Carolina has been very lucky with the turnovers, and that's been one of the drivers for them to have such a good year. And one last thing that points a little towards Arizona is prior to three games ago, Carolina had outgained their last 21 opponents, 19 of the 21. So only two times out of 21 games had Carolina been outgained. They've been outgained the last three games now. So they're still winning, but the stats aren't as good. So that's a lot of factors in the game that kind of point to Arizona.
So you're taking Arizona is what you're saying.
No.
Oh.
What I'm saying is that we have only two games and 7 minutes on the segment.
Okay.
So we talked a little about Arizona. Now, though, here's the pick. I like Carolina, and the reason for that, I think, is a couple things. One, if you looked at halftime last week, they were winning 31-0 against Seattle, and some of the bookmakers in Vegas offshore, they opened up a line on the game for next week, figuring, hey, they're going to play Arizona because Carolina is going to win this game, and the line was 4.5. So it was Carolina at home favored by 4.5. The line's now down to 3. And some of the driver of that is what we saw from Carolina in the second half of that game, which was they let the score get closer against Seattle. But here's the thing. When you're dominating a team in the playoffs like that, if you let your foot off the gas, you get a little bit tight, that's to be expected. So I think people are reacting to the idea that Seattle was able to come back. But I think a lot of that comeback was just luck, or not luck so much. That's probably not the right way to say. But it was more driven by Carolina was up so big, they got a little bit lackadaisical. And I don't think you should kind of give them a negative because of that. So I think we're getting some value on Carolina, and also the weather. We've heard about the East Coast and the weather. Carolina, the weather should be is looking to be a little bit bad, and Carolina's had some turf issues. So the actually surface of the field has been something quirky. Seattle actually complained about that, and I think anytime you have a quirky surface like that, the home team has an advantage.
So you're picking Arizona.
No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Carolina. All right. Let's just say this. I'm picking Carolina.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. I was unclear.
And
all right.
Last thing. Oh, well, let's just leave it at that for that game.
Okay. All right. Panthers -3 versus the Cardinals. That is RJ's pick for the NFC game.
Thank God that wasn't my first segment with you guys. We would have never been on the air again.
All right. Let's talk about the other game. This is Brady Manning 17. What on earth are we going to expect for this?
Well, I think that it's undoubted that New England is a really good team, and some now believe the best team in the league. And I think that's justified. Last week, what we saw was the injured players come back and play really well for New England. Also, what we saw last week was Manning was physically limited in that game. And a lot of people kind of said, wow, how in the world is New England going to compete, or how is Denver going to compete against New England? And here's the thing about Belichick, coach for New England, is if you have a flaw, he is the best at exploiting
yeah,
it.
That's true.
And what we've seen is that a lot of teams are pressing up against Denver and playing really tight because Manning cannot throw the ball deep. And I think that's a big problem for Denver. That said, here's the turn. The pick is, and our best bet of the week is Denver plus 3.5. And the rationale is this. Everyone saw how good New England looked. Everyone saw how average Denver looked, and that's a fair way to say it, when they beat Pittsburgh. And because of that, the line has really adjusted. On Twitter, and I always use that as an unvarnished kind of feedback, good or bad, is I when the line came out last week and I tweeted it, people said, okay, getting a second mortgage on the house, this is such an easy bet. I'm going to bet New England. They're going to win by 20. You know, you got guys like Greeny from Mike and Mike saying he would only take Denver plus 10. It's like crazy stuff like that because New England did look so good and Denver did look so average. And whenever you have the public that's so extreme one way, especially in the playoffs where the public really dictates what the line is because there's so many public bettors, you can take advantage of that bias.
So you're right? Picking New England.
Picking New England. Right?
I can't decide whether RJ is crazy or genius right now. I really can't.
Well, he's 6-2 in the playoffs.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
You know, some would say it's a combination of the two.
All right. So you've got, do I have this right then? You've got the Broncos plus 3.5 versus the Patriots?
Yes. And okay. That's a key number. And we talk about that a good bit throughout the year. Is 3 is the most common margin of victory in the NFL. So the difference between plus 3 and plus 3.5 is gigantic. There's 3.5s out there. So Denver plus 3, I would lean, but you can get 3.5, and that's the best bet.
All right, and the Panthers again, minus 3 versus Kevin's Arizona Cardinals, both of those games on Sunday. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJInVegas. See this and so much more at pregame.com. Have a great weekend, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys.
It is 7:52.
We don't thank God for all girls, right?
I think we do.
Not all of them.
Ralph, I can see you nodding towards me.
I'm just saying.
I can.
Oh, right, yeah.
I'm visually seeing you.
Just nosy over there, yeah.
You know, thank God for all girls.
Hey,
I could tell you better where you needed to go if I knew your itinerary.
I'm saying it's just forward.
7:52, our friend Eddie Ift, very funny man, coming in right after 8. First, so time for the show.
But first, time for a moment with?
Well, that's what I thought we were doing, and then you
didn't. Get us there, relax.
Agreed.
Jesus.
I was going to say, why are you so upset? It's easy
because,
to fix. It's easy because to fix.
Because we have these conversations off the air where Kevin says, all right, I'm going to play the moment with. So then he talks, and then he's supposed to hit the moment with.
Asperger's doesn't have to come out of the song. It doesn't have to belong there. We can get to it after a little conversation. I can say, hey, I heard there's a new moment with. Could I please take a listen to that?
See? I was prepped
easy
for something
fix.
Else. That's all.
Easy fix.
Say it again, Ralph.
Wow. Spun out.
Say it again. Say it up again.
I was promised a new moment with. I'd love to hear one.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You could do anything. You could do movies. You can do stand-up. You can do singing. You can do anything. I mean, I have no question here.
Wow.
Yeah, me either. I was just kidding you.
I have no question here.
I felt like that was a build-up.
It sounded like it was going somewhere.
That was a moment with Bean.
I don't know what happened there. That was a colossal disaster.
I got to tell you, it's so fun to watch Zach Galifianakis in that case trying to follow that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And realizing just before you did that he doesn't know how to answer it because there was no question.
Well, yep. I have no idea what I was trying to get through.
That's pretty
sweet.
When you're just so desperately focused on wanting to make out with him, Bean, I think that's what threw
you.
Where
is this coming from? Wait, what are you talking about?
You. Well, you just, you were a gusher. You were a bit of a gusher.
Okay.
All right.
A bit of a gusher.
I like where this
super
is headed at all.
You were a little bit of either. A gusher when Zach Galifianakis came in here.
Let's I was take a look
too,
at the
but there was no
beat.
Gushing.
You weren't a gusher.
We?
You were just, Hangover is the greatest movie ever made.
He's literally.
Zach Galifianakis said, really?
He literally did a spit take, but not a comedy one, a real one.
Have you ever seen any movies without the words and the bandit in the title?
He said yeah, that.
Kevin?
I got to tell you, I love him, and that made me love him more. Have you ever seen a movie without "and the bandit" in the title? It's very funny. I love Zach.
Well, he can do anything.
Kevin, God damn it!
He can do anything. He can act.
Uh-huh.
He can do stand-up.
He can mime.
That's what I've heard. He can do
music.
Anything.
I don't think I have a question here.
Speaking of comedy, is Amy Schumer stealing jokes? Oh snap! Three female comedians on Twitter claims she stole other comedians' jokes.
That's alleged.
Comedians Wendy Liebman, Kathleen Madigan, and Tammy Pascatelli have all claimed she has repeated jokes similar to ones made by them earlier. Well, Amy's responding, tweeting, "On my life, I have never and would never steal a joke. I would never, ever do that. I never have." She has offered to take a lie detector test.
Isn't it possible that, A, it's a coincidence and they came to the same joke in their mind? Or, B, maybe she saw it at some point in her life and doesn't remember, didn't think about it?
I listened to her on Jimmy Norton's podcast yesterday. And I laughed so hard at this response because, my God, it's the realest thing she could have said. She said, "Do you think I heard Wendy Liebman's joke from 1990 and I sat on it all these years and said, this is it. This is when I'm going to say it." It's just, I don't know. To me, there's a lot of, it's just parallel thinking.
Right.
Things.
What a surprise. Allie's defending the cheaters. That's so rare.
How
so
dare
rare
you.
On
how
this show for her to
dare
do that.
You.
I would assume she's not cheating as well.
Mm-hmm. Just ask the Indianapolis Colts.
Amy Schumer does not need to steal jokes.
And Deflategate was actually ruled.
Or does
absolute
she?
Joke, so that's
she's
good.
Still defending the
she is, I know.
Yeah, I will.
She's a little touchy.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Ideal Gas, a lot of people look it up. Good night.
Hey, ABBA got back together.
Woo!
Right?
What?
How exciting is that? Kevin, of course, the four members of ABBA, of course, are...
Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Jim.
Jim!
Yes, the four members of ABBA are Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I realized there was only three, so I had to add one.
I think that's a good guess.
I don't know. Bjorn and Smjorn and Klorn and Shorn. They're all effed up names.
Well,
am I right?
They're Swedish.
Come on,
they're not
now.
Really effed up for them. I mean,
right? But was
it
I close?
Just keeps getting better. No. Well, you had one of them right.
Okay.
Bjorn is one of the members of ABBA.
See, that's a victory for
ABBA
me.
ABBA spells the first initial of their four first names.
Oh, I don't know.
That's
care.
How you can easily remember them.
Okay.
You have Agnetha.
Sure.
Bjorn.
Mm-hmm.
Benny.
Mm-hmm.
And Annifried.
Sure.
Annifries.
Annifries, no.
Frida for short.
Annifrid or Frida for short, yes. But that would be an F, not an A.
Right.
So we use Annifrid, her given name, to spell out ABBA. Huh. Now, they are famously broken up and not talking to each other and not performing, and they will have nothing to do with each other. So what brought them back together again for their first public appearance in 8 years?
Money?
Nope.
Oh.
The opening of the new ABBA-themed restaurant in Stockholm, Sweden.
ABBA-themed restaurant.
You can go eat at the ABBA restaurant.
What do you get there?
Alphabet soup. Just all A's and B's. That's all it is. No other letters.
not overwhelming yet.
Yeah.
Really? Just a restaurant or a restaurant chain?
Just
a single restaurant.
Where else are they going to open them, Kevin?
The one only ABBA restaurant. Yeah, right.
Would ABBA get together?
They're going to be up on City Walk. They're going to have the new ABBA Cafe.
Maybe. Would ABBA get together for one single restaurant?
It's dedicated to them. It's a tribute to them. It's the ABBA restaurant.
You don't know, man.
I'll go next time I'm in Stockholm.
Yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
And there's the ABBA Museum there, too.
Sure. You don't have to tell us.
Waiters give you a choice of still or sparkling water, Lou, I believe, when you sit down. But I want to tell you, folks. Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth looks like they're officially engaged again.
Poor bastard.
Yeah. She's moving back in with him. She's bringing her dogs and her llamas and her blowfish and all our other animals.
I would imagine that the flaming lips stay over a lot, too. You've got to take that on.
Need a guest room. Need a lip room.
Right.
Wayne's just there, nude, pouring glue all over himself, rolling around in sparkles. It's a bad way to wake up on a Sunday morning when you just want to watch the football. There's Wayne just dousing himself in glitter. What a bunch of lunatics.
That isn't good for you.
Right? That's what I'm saying. They say Scott Disick may not be destined for a life of sobriety.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently he's been blowing off his outpatient rehab appointments. And friends and those close to him say it's just a matter of time until he's off the wagon.
I don't know much about rehab, Ralph, but my understanding is you don't have to go to all of them, just whichever ones are convenient. Right.
Look, it's a suggestion.
Right.
I suggest you.
Plus, if you can make it, make it.
Plus a couple of drinks in between.
Look, I have no problem with this because Scott Disick, really, what purpose does he serve other than to be a drunken jester for us to point out and laugh at, right? So he should just get loaded up and just start running into things. I just want to see him go in outdoors and just get stuck in revolving doors at casinos and things. I just want him to be just a laugh.
But what about his socks? Is this the guy with the sock line?
No, Rob has the socks.
Rob, I'm sorry.
Come on, Kevin.
Got my sock key track confused.
Yeah. And, you know, the WWE Divas are such a big deal. Well, this is a big coup for Vivid Entertainment. Are you familiar with the work of Vivid Entertainment?
Sure.
They make films for adult consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And former WWE diva Tammy Stitch has signed a deal to star in an adult film for Vivid. The head of the company, Steve Hirsch, offered to pay her $100,000 to star in a movie. She says the actual price was much, much higher. Yeah, I'm sure. she'll be shooting her first film, which I'm looking forward to. Sunny Side Up, In Through the Back Door, it's called.
Huh.
So.
Was that right?
Look for that at a movie theater near you sometime soon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Diane Lane is stop it. Diane Lane is 51 years old, as is DJ Jazzy Jeff. Big DJ Jazzy Jeff's like, I'll take Will's tickets to the Oscars.
He's
not going to use them.
Of course.
I got them free that night.
I got nothing.
I can come in.
He's actually a very well-respected DJ.
That's what we meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, is he?
He's an amazing turntablist. You didn't just plug in an iPod like you kids out there like. He actually has skills.
Allie has no friends!
Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler's 51. Guy Fieri is 48. Balthazar Getty turns 41 years old today. And actor Christopher Masterson is 36.
Christopher Masterson, actually very well-respected writer and director.
Actually,
as well as
I believe his
actor.
Brother is also a DJ.
Yeah,
goes by Mom Jeans.
Allie has no friends.
Ralph Garman, I walk the feet.
So you put on what we call cans.
Mm-hmm.
Put those on.
Okay.
Right, and then...
And you should be able to hear us.
Can you hear us?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And then the mic right there, you talk into that mic?
Test 1, 2,
yeah.
3,
yeah, good.
4.
We
now we got it.
Eddie Eft,
you are on the air.
Okay. Now what do?
Well, now we...
get in trouble.
We make funny out of our ha-ha holes. Hey, Eddie, I'm glad you're here, and we want to talk about your Ice House Comedy Club show in Pasadena tonight, and we will get to that. But I want to follow up on something Ralph brought up in the Showbiz Beat a couple minutes ago, which is all the controversy over Amy Schumer lately, being accused as a joke thief. And that's the worst thing you can do as a comedian. You must have been.
There's worse. You can rape 42 women.
Oh, well,
okay, Bill Cosby.
Okay,
sure.
Legit. All right, legit. Right. Is there such thing as just parallel thinking? People come up with the same joke at the same time, even though they don't know each other. Is there such thing as subconsciously hearing a joke and then it comes out and you think it's your own years down the road? You must have had experiences on both sides of this over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of parallel development. And I think if you watch the talk shows, if you watch all three, you know, like big shows or four shows that are on late night TV that do monologues, you're going to see a lot of crossovers. You're going to see a lot of the same jokes just because the way, you know, comedy thinking is. And I also think that once somebody gets big and famous, everybody's going to come after them.
Yep.
Sure. And attack them. But I also do believe there's storing, ideas in your head subconsciously that you don't remember. And then you repeat them, like you write the joke and you do the joke. Like, and so you got to be careful, and you usually like do the joke for a while, and hopefully people come up to you and go, hey, I think I've heard so-and-so do that joke.
Has that happened to you?
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
And then what do you do?
Then you go to the comedian and you usually say, hey, do you have this joke? And then they tell you their joke, and then you figure it out and you go, oh, mine's way different. Or
mine's funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody's going to see you. I get phone calls in the middle of the night from Dave Attell sometimes going, do you have a joke about purple popsicles and diseased clowns and how they're not Mormon? And I'm like, nobody has this joke, Dave. Nobody.
Dave. Plus, it's the middle of the night.
I think Amy's a good comedian, and she's been around long enough that I don't think she would ever do something like that.
think the same.
And she even brought
she has
up,
denied it. Yeah.
She even brought up. She calls Colin. She calls Dave and says, "Here's this thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?" Like she's so aware of that. That this is just it's.
But
people
I've heard,
trying to knock her down.
I've heard a ton of comedians, and I'll do a joke, and then I'll see a movie, and I'll be like, "That's my joke's in that movie," and I'll look at the writers. I'm like, "They're good writers. They didn't steal my joke." I don't. And somebody sent me one of those two comedians next to each other, and it was like an old joke of mine that people know, and this comedian just did it on Seth Meyers' show or something, and he's like, "I'm going to post this." The guy wrote, and I said, "Don't post it. I know."
Really, you didn't want to?
No, I said that guy's a good comedian, and if he did take it, he subconsciously took it. He's not like there's a
you
certain,
give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, there's a certain person out there that was a blatant joke thief.
Sure,
that was taking jokes and really like doing them word for word, and they were long, crazy bits, and that's obvious, and they need to be kicked out.
Not
of the
to
business.
Mention any names, but no. It was Carlos Mencia.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to say Carlos Mencia's
right.
name.
Okay, I'm just asking. But
he's over that. He doesn't do that anymore. He still has the money from
right.
making
he didn't
all
give
the
it back.
But yeah, but gosh. He doesn't do it anymore.
Ali, what did you read into, if anything, that all of the comedians that are accusing Amy Schumer of stealing her jokes were also women? Is that just a coincidence?
And they have also all backed down now because they've had the conversation. Like, oh, okay.
So Amy paid him off. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
She didn't steal it, most likely.
I don't think there was any. I think there was a discussion of it, and they probably all kind of agreed.
And they're
all good comedians, too.
Absolutely.
They're all amazing comedians. So I think it was just one of this, like, there was a powwow kind of thing, and went, hey, I didn't, you know.
It's a little strange that the three of them got together and sort of made the claim.
Well, no.
Okay.
Wendy Liebman did.
Okay.
And then someone said to her, oh, you should talk to Kathleen Madigan. She took some of her jokes. And then Tammy Pescatelli is the one that was kind of the loudest about it and brought it up.
It's probably also the instigators on the internet.
Yes.
Who become the social justice warriors that think that there's this whole, like, comedy, like, judging community now that likes to get out there and go after. There's one going on right now that just happened last night. And they're, you know, and they go to, like, they'll, like, go to Joe Rogan as the judge. Like, Joe, what is your decision on this matter? Because he was the first one to call out, you know, when Carlos was doing it.
Right.
So it's become this. But you're going to see. I mean, I've been working on a film, and I wrote a whole scene that I read to my wife. I was so excited about that. And she's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, what? She's like, you saw that in, and she named another film. And I went, oh my God, I did.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, and I was like, I got to rewrite this.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Oh, I'm pathetic.
I was so happy like, with that.
Yeah. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh,
and I wrote
shame.
This whole thing. And I think
how
that's
could that not happen?
I think we're also, all of us as a society are watching so much material that we don't even remember. People will go, hey, did you see that film? And I'll go, yeah. And it'll be like a week ago. And they're like, what was it about? And I'm like, I don't remember anymore.
Hey, because you've watched 80 things since then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so I think we're just storing all this stuff in our subconscious and we don't realize that it's coming back out.
I feel the exact same thing happens with songwriters.
Yeah.
How could a song that you heard 15 years ago not somehow be stuck in your head and that's what you're writing and you don't know it?
Yeah,
I feel like it's an innocent thing.
This is Eddie Ifter on the Kevin and Bean Show, appearing tonight at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. Hey, real quick before we break, you talk about the parallel thinking. What happens every night on stage when people walk out there, grab the microphone, and want to start talking about Donald Trump? I mean, you talk about something that everybody's talking about. How is there not some sort of crossover in that?
I haven't seen any really good Donald Trump jokes. Usually someone, you wait around, like as comedians, you wait around for Chris Rock or something to release a special, and then the joke comes out where everybody's like, oh, there it is.
That's the one.
That's the one.
And he's tough to parody too, isn't he?
Yeah, so hard. I don't even have any material about him yet. Like, Paul Provenza and I were talking about it the other night about saying, like, you don't need to write anything because he's doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Sarah Palin was. It's almost hack because they do it for themselves, and they're such a character. They're such a joke. It's like going on the Venice Boardwalk. You can't make fun of those people because they just do it themselves, and you can't. But I did see Donald Trump's hair the other day, a picture of the wind blowing it.
That's the best.
I always wondered, like, what is that?
Yeah.
How does that? And I think it's a double layer swoosh. Like it goes one way, then they bring it back the other way.
It's not earth of this earth.
No.
I know that.
No.
Well, different you may not have any jokes now, but you've got 8 years of Trump Palin running the country.
I can only pray. And I would love it if he would pick Sarah Palin as his vice president.
Oh, please.
It's like Batman versus Superman. I'd be more excited for Palin and Trump.
As a comedian,
there could never be anything better. The apocalypse would happen,
right,
and we'd all get to live through it, which I kind of want to live in the apocalypse. If I'm going to die, I want to be there for the greatest event ever in history.
You want to be there for the apocalypse.
Well, why not? You know,
because
like,
the apocalypse is going to suck.
I know,
that's
but
why not?
Death sucks no matter what.
Right.
Okay, so why not be there for the big, you know, you get to heaven and people are like, hey, how'd it happen? And you're like, I was there. And they're like, Lollapalooza? And you're like, no. You were at the apocalypse?
Wait, in that story, you're assuming you're going to heaven?
Oh, yeah, well, I don't believe in any of that stuff, okay. So.
Eddie F. is here. We're going to take a quick break. He'll be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena tonight at 8 o'clock on stage. It's a very special show. Tickets are available starting at just $17.50. Go to icehousecomedy.com. We'll be right back on K-Rock. All right, Eddie, I said tonight was going to be a special performance in Pasadena. Was I lying or is it?
It's going to be very special. I'm going to do it naked. It's the first time ever I've performed naked. Second time.
So you get laughs before you even open your mouth.
Exactly. No, I'm not going to be naked, but I did perform semi-nude once. No, I've been naked on stage a few times, but I did a show for a nudist colony once.
Okay.
Really?
I swear. Well, it was a nudist colony that rented out a comedy club in New York City.
Okay.
And
so the audience was all nude.
And the audience is all nude. All and, right. And I'm not lying when I say I really don't smoke weed that often.
Right.
Like people think I'm on like all the weed shows and they ask me to. And I'm
I
like,
would peg you as.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's all.
Sure.
And I think it's just because I'm lazy.
That could be. And,
I don't need weed for that. So that night I happened to smoke some weed.
Okay.
And I go to the comedy club and nobody tells me that.
That it's a nudist audience.
That they have rented out the club to a nudist colony. And I see they've got newspaper all over the outside windows because it was like a storefront kind of window. It was stand-up New York in New York City. Uh-huh. And I walk in and I'm like, what is the newspaper for? And no one answered me and because I probably just said it to myself. But they're like, you're up. And I walk in the room and I'm like, what the?
Oh.
And it just hit me like I could not. Talk. I couldn't do any of my jokes.
I imagine.
You and must have thought you were so high.
I just thought that it was a giant practical joke. Everybody was, I'm paranoid when I, that's why I don't smoke. And right. I'm like, they're all against me. You know, like they've done this to me.
To throw you off your game.
And I couldn't talk. And I guess everyone else knew. So everyone was doing their material and not discussing it. And so they were doing well. Mm-hmm. And I just was stuttering.
How long did it take you to recover and start your act?
Never did.
You never really? Did.
Never got a joke out. Just
not
kept,
one.
Just kept going like, well, what's, well, why? And I remember one guy just gets so disgusted. He's like, this is terrible. And he stood up and he had his clothes, because they would come dressed, take their clothes off, sit down. So he stands up to get his clothes, which are in his bag, and he bends over right in front of me.
Man.
And I was like, that's officially the worst heckle I've ever had. That's like this guy just bent over and was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty disturbing.
Not much will beat a brown eye in a comedy club.
No, that was the end of it. I couldn't speak
the
after that.
The people that didn't tell you did the right thing, though.
Right.
I agree.
I would have done the same exact thing.
Okay. So, Eddie, let me ask you this, because I don't understand the whole nudism thing, and I know there are a lot of people who are really, really into it, but why is comedy better, if you asked any of these people, why is comedy better in a comedy club if you have no clothes on? I don't understand.
I think they run out of things to do, and they're just like, okay, we like to be nude. What can we do today? Well, I like Trader Joe's.
Yeah, like, let's go to a comedy show.
Let's...
So it's not better for them. It's just that's what they do?
Yeah. They.
It's more comfortable that
I
way?
Think they just every week it's something new. Like, hey, let's go laser tag shooting.
Right.
You know, like we'll try that in the nude. That could be different and interesting.
It's going to be weird the week they go to Yankees game. Right?
I think, you know what, there was one time I got booked at one and it was out in the middle of nowhere and I wouldn't go do it because I was like, that sounds
You
like,
knew that's what it was.
I just said, it sounds like a rape. You know, like, I'm going to show up and I'm going to just be like, you know, I don't want to be around all
just
these nude people that, because they're never, they never look good. It's never like Victoria's Secret models.
No. You know, it's usually people you don't need to see naked.
Never, ever.
Which is most of us.
Yeah.
Which is most of us. Let's be honest.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right. Eddie's going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena tonight. Tickets available at icehousecomedy.com. Just $17.50, 18 and up. Before you go, Eddie, you also told us since the last time you were in, you have been working hard on a TV show. How's that going?
We've just started writing the show. We're building the pilot presentation, getting it. And it's pretty cool. I'm working with a producer from he makes Caesar 911. And so my agents attached me to him. I guess they were like, well, this guy works with rabid dogs. So he would be best for Eddie. the guys I work with just, they're not healthy. They're not.
Right.
Yeah. All the guys on my show. So we're basically making a show about a show, and it's about the show that we do, which is, you know, my traveling circus.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of P.T. Barnum with the bus as I travel around.
Now, the bus.
Yeah.
Is it traveling around?
No, it's actually sitting in my driveway with my wife threatening divorce.
Okay.
Yeah. And the neighbors are not happy at all. No. I was walking my dog the other day and the guy goes, where do you live? Or something like, he said, what's your name? And I said, Eddie Ift. And, you know, my name's on the bus. He goes, with the bus.
Uh-oh. Nobody wants that bus in their driveway. I mean, that's in their neighborhood. Honestly.
So I got to find a place to park it. Anybody want to put up the bus, we'll put it there.
Is there any way to fix it, or is it just...
Yeah. We've got a blown head gasket, I think, which is like about $6,000. And so... I was just going to wait till the network and the production company and everybody go, we'll pay for it.
But your comedy's Eddie Ift. How do you not have $6,000? That concerns me a great deal.
It's just because when I did the Kickstarter, I spent all the money doing the bus. Plus, I spent a lot more money on the bus. Like, I put in a lot of my own money.
But at least it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got that going.
And then I didn't realize you have to give people their rewards for Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, for $10, you get a poster. And people would be like, awesome. And they'd get it from Scotland. And then I'd get the poster, and it was $1. I'd get the envelope. It was $1. And then the shipping was $13. So my Kickstarter has gone into negative.
Wow. You might need some kind of a business manager or something. Somebody to help run the business of Eddie Ift.
So I raised in Kickstarter negative $27,000.
Congratulations. Oh, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody losing.
That's awesome. All right, Eddie. Ice House Comedy Club tonight, 1750 icehousecomedy.com. You're going on stage around 8 o'clock, and I'm urging Kevin and Bean listeners to show up naked. That's how Eddie prefers it.
That's correct. Streak the show. It's happened before many times. And
feel
also,
free to take your clothes off.
Free tickets for anyone that can fix a blown head gasket.
There you go. All right, great to see you, man.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, man.
We got a lot of very interesting emails here at the Kevin and Bean Show, and this one really caught our attention. It went to Dave King of Mexico, our producer, a couple of weeks ago. Hey, Dave, my name is Vanessa Santoro, and I have been an avid listener to K-Rock for 20 years. During my time as a listener, I've won numerous contests, one of them being a singles trip to Las Vegas with you guys back in 2010. Well, I'm writing this email to let you know that I am now a contestant on this season's Hell's Kitchen. Is there any way I can come on the show to talk about it? Now, Hell's Kitchen is the show with the grumpy guy who yells at people, right?
Yes.
I want to find out more about that. Please welcome Vanessa Soltero to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi. How's it going?
How are you, my dear? Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's so
all right.
Nice
to so you are already working as a chef. Like, you've already done chef school and the whole deal, and you've got a job, right?
Yes. I went to culinary school. I went to LA Trade Tech right here in downtown, and then I went to go work at LAX, and now I'm working in Culver City at Surface.
Okay, so when you have all of that, you've done all that, you've got a job, I don't understand why you go on Hell's Kitchen. Please help me with this.
Well, the grand prize is $250,000.
Okay.
It's not bad.
All right,
yeah,
good enough.
Bad. Yeah. Plus, you love men yelling at you.
You know what? I'm a glutton for punishment.
There you go.
It's kind of weird. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but that like crazy idea of wanting to have somebody yell at me. But it's funny how you think that, you know, it's going to make you crazy, but it really does make you better.
It like, motivates.
Oh, really?
It makes you better.
Well, I mean, you have to think about it as being in the military, right? It's a kitchen brigade. So you have the chef, which is like
the main guy there, the chief.
The drill instructor.
Right, and then you have the sous chef, the guy right under him being his assistant. Then you have all the little minions, which are the line cooks and the prep cooks, right? So
it seems like yelling
it's
would...
training, but it's training. You go to boot camp in the military, right?
Right.
So this is almost similar to the boot camp.
Right, but in the military you go fight. Here you cook.
Well, you fight for your life. You're wanting to fight for that $250,000.
Oh, I see.
Well, that's true. Yeah. How difficult is it to be a contestant on Hell's Kitchen? I'm sure everyone who can fry an egg wants to be on the show. So how did you get picked?
Well, fortunately, like I said, 2010 was like my year of things. So I started culinary school and I kind of just went from 2010 to 2014 when I got casted. It was a really short span of time.
Was it just an open casting call?
It was an open casting call. My friend Camille was all like, let's go. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And they picked me. We were like one of the last two people there to be seen.
Uh-huh.
And then they were like, here, we'll see you in about a week. And
what's the process? Do you have to make something for them?
No, it was just all interviews and talking and just selling yourself. Because, I mean, they already know you know how to cook. You have a job cooking, you know? So it's like, what is it so great about you that you can go ahead and work with Chef Ramsay? What makes
they're looking for good TV at that point.
Right.
Because everyone can cook, right. All right, so is this the show, not that Kevin and I don't watch every episode, but is this the show where they surprise you with a bunch of ingredients and they say, hey, you got 45 minutes, go.
No, this is not Chopped. This is not Chopped, but that is where I want to go next.
It is.
Anybody listening, I would love to go on Chopped.
Okay.
Anyways.
What do they do in the show? What are the challenges like?
So, I mean, challenges can range from different things. It's just basically he throws things at you and you have to work together as a team to try to beat your other team.
Okay, so you take whatever he gives you, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
And then you try to work out the best thing that it can be. And then if you don't do it, he calls you a donkey.
Basically.
I feel like that's my whole understanding of
this show. Yeah, he calls people donkeys every season. Have you been called a donkey?
No.
No, thank God. No,
okay.
No, not yet. But I was calling him. I mean, I wasn't called any choice words, but he did really rattle my nerves on the first show. Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, the very first show, somebody has to fall apart, and that was me.
Right.
Oh, wow. And I'm okay with that.
Vanessa fell apart.
The comments were amazing. Like, I mean, you're not supposed to read stuff that people talk about you on television. And, like, I should have went home. I don't understand why she didn't go home. And it was just like, there's a reason why I don't go home. Trust me.
Is Gordon Ramsay, is he putting on that to make an entertaining TV show? Or is that the kind of guy he has with that fiery temper?
Well, I don't think anybody would want to tune in if there was a perfect service every show.
Right.
So he has to go ahead and find faults in people that think they're amazing. Like, I thought I was amazing. You know, I went to culinary school. I went to go work for a big old food festival called LA Food and Wine and worked with all the chefs that I ever wanted to work with on television that I seen. And next thing you know, I'm with Ramsay. And he was one of the people that I wanted to work with. And he doesn't do events like this. He's a very, like, you know, television restaurant appearance, and that's about it. Like, so this was the only other way that I could get to work with him. And I didn't make MasterChef. I'm not going to lie. I auditioned for MasterChef, too.
How many of these shows are there?
There's like 10 billion.
There's Next Food Network Star. There's a
billion.
Make
that.
did you try for that,
did
too?
Did it make Guy's
Tell
Grocery
us the show.
Games?
Oh, give my gosh. Give us the list of shows that you did not get. Because
there
I haven't heard of any
fighters.
Of these. Food Fighters, okay.
Yeah, there's stuff that didn't even make air. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you're trying out for stuff that didn't even eventually
didn't
become
even
a show.
Wow. Yeah. So that's the good thing about being in Los Angeles, though, because you have access to all of these things.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Like, you know, a lot of the kids are from Philadelphia area or Detroit and stuff like that. So, you know, it was kind of cool to have all of these kids come in. It was like camp, chef camp. So I got to meet a whole bunch of people from everywhere, and it was nice.
Is it fun?
I thought I had a great time.
Have you already filmed the whole season?
Yeah, we did it in 2014.
2014?
Okay. What?
It's a lot of editing.
Wait. You say 2014?
A lot of editing, I'm sure.
Wow.
Did you say 2014?
She did.
Just clarifying.
Yeah.
A surprise. Okay. This is the voice of Kevin to Me listener, Vanessa Soltero. She is a current contestant on Hell's Kitchen, which airs Friday night at 9 on Fox. Here's something that I saw on the website that I did not know was a feature of your show, which is you are preparing these meals not just to make Chef Ramsay happy, but also for, in many cases, celebrity diners. Is that true?
Yeah, we have celebrity diners.
Who did you cook for?
Actually, you know, I really don't remember because we're cooking. You know, they say something at the beginning of the show, like, oh, okay, you know, so-and-so is going to be in the audience. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
So you don't get to interact with them at all.
No. I mean,
you don't get out of the kitchen to go shake hands with astronaut Buzz Aldrin, for instance, who's on the show this year.
No. Do they have anyone at front of the house? Do they bring someone to do that job or no?
Oh, yeah, they have a whole staff in front of the house to do.
Oh, it's like, never chefs that's their job for the week or no?
No. Front of the house is like wait staff and all that stuff. They take care of the front of the house and all of us cook.
Vanessa, what is it about cooking that attracts you so much that you want to make it your life?
You know what? When I was a kid, I started cooking when I was like 4 years old, of all things. I learned how to use the microwave.
And I can do that.
Scrambled eggs in the microwave.
Wait,
right?
Can I cook?
Exactly. Like, it doesn't matter how you make something edible. You just can make it, you know, to eat.
It's just something you enjoyed.
And it was kind of like science. You know, your recipe is your idea. You know, you're going to go ahead and do your method on your on the preparation and stuff. And then your outcome is your outcome.
Is part of the fun of it taking something that everybody else has done and then changing it up?
Not necessarily. No. It's just, you know, one of those things where I'm one of those people where it's like, I'll go to the clearance section in the market.
Right.
And I'll be like, oh, okay, like there's all these things there. I can make a great meal for $5 for five people. So those are the things, those are challenges like I give myself.
Look at this coconut. It's been in here 4 months. Look at all the mold on it. Can you imagine what a great dinner that's going to be?
Just chop it off.
Wow. All right. So you've already filmed your season. So
in 2014.
Right. So our listeners, it's not like they'll tune in Friday night and they can vote for you or anything like that. Like it's all done, right?
No, it's all done. Okay. It's all done. So just like tonight, we're going to have a viewing party in Manhattan Beach at Sharky's.
Okay.
So you guys can all come down and watch and have fun and meet
me. Weird thing to have a watching party as someone yells at you.
Like my actual premiere party, I did friends and family
because
I was like, I'm gonna hide under this couch right now because I kind of had a feeling that this was gonna happen. But
I'm so glad you reached out to us. We are always interested when our listeners do cool things, especially stuff like this that we don't know anything about. So it's very cool of you to come in and tell us about it. And I hope you. I mean, look. Obviously, she didn't win the season because she's still living in Los Angeles, not in Las Vegas. But I hope that you you make all your other dreams going forward. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thanks for coming in.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:52.
You should just have a few more chances here on this Friday to get qualified for a chance to see 21 Pilots in Tokyo. We're going to give you some tickets to see them at the Forum in July, and then you'll qualify for the trip to Tokyo. And that's coming up in about 10 minutes or less right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the K-Rock World Tour 2016 Destination number one, details at krock.com. That 21 Pilots, by the way.
Great show.
That's a good live band right there.
Agreed.
Have a great time. All right, Ralph is here. Another time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
21 Pilots, and I hear your voice on the radio. Isn't that that song?
I don't recognize that.
David Bowie. Trying to
place it, Ralph. It's not coming to me either.
It's a song by Robert Plant called 29 Palms.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, yeah, me now.
No, now that you say it. Sure. Sounds familiar.
Now I know. Don't condescend to me.
Well, once you told me what it was, I knew it.
Don't even. All right. I don't. Sit down.
Sit down.
You know who's great? David Bowie.
Yeah.
Still missing him. Still so tragic that we lost a talent. And an individual like David Bowie, and he was enormously fun. Although he was a talent, and everyone knew him from on stage as sort of a genius, and he was an actor, and a singer, and a songwriter. He just apparently was just a fun guy. Case in point, this tape from 1985, him in the recording studio, trying to lay down some tracks for the soundtrack to the movie Absolute Beginners. And just for S's and giggles, while he was in the recording studio, he started to record the song in different voices and doing imitations of other singers. Tom Waits, Iggy Pop, Lou Reed, Neil Young, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan. Just laying down track after track of him doing impressions of people.
Sounds funny.
How fun is that? Bowie just cutting loose, getting in touch with his inner Frank Caliendo. The tape has surfaced this week. It's on YouTube and a couple other sources. Thought you might like to hear a little bit. Here's Bowie doing a song as Bruce Springsteen.
When the fire broke out on the Rio Grande, put my foot to the board, and she ate up the sand with a horse of the South track chilling behind a fire that aims to please.
I think some Bruce should cover that song.
That's pretty awesome.
It sounds like a great Springsteen song.
Yeah.
And he also does his best Bob Dylan on the same track.
When the thighs broke out on the ground, put my foot in the board and see it as a jam. With the horse in the side, drag to heal him behind the fire that ends the fears.
Bob Dylan should have done that song.
Right?
Good Bob Dylan song.
Oh, come on. That ain't right.
That's fine.
Why? Why did he have to die? Why?
Stupid cancer, man.
Stupid cancer indeed.
How about Dr. Drew, a little less time impregnating the teen moms on MTV, a little more time getting us a cure for cancer.
Pick up,
about that?
You know, put down the microphone, pick up a microscope.
Right?
God damn it. Do some doctoring once in a while.
Be nice.
He's not even a real doctor, I'm guessing.
He is a real doctor.
Yeah, but it's a doctor in, like, philosophy.
No, it's literal physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It just seems like a lot of time podcasting and not much time saving lives. That's all I'm saying.
I only know one guy who was ever treated by Dr. Drew, and Dr. Drew put a pipe in his urethra. That's all I need to know about what kind of doctor he is. It's some kinky weird-ass going on in that office.
It was actually Jimmy Kimmel's.
Yes, it was. The only patient I've ever met of Dr. Drew's, he put a pipe in his urethra.
Well, I mean, his pee hole closed.
Jimmy still walks kind of funny
from
it, too.
That's a thing. That's an actual thing that I did not know.
It was one of those... one of those big tobacco pipes, too, like Sherlock Holmes used, like one of those big curved pipes you smoke out of. Yeah, it was one of those pipes, too.
Unfortunately, I know that it was not that because I was there.
See, now this is even a whole other case of weird that we don't even have time to get into. In fact, you were there looking on and what the hell?
Yeah, let's just move on.
This was a weird place to work back in the day.
It still is.
I'm glad no one's looking at my urethra. Here's interesting proof that you can make money in show business even if a show has horrible reviews. Remember we talked about China Doll, the new David Mamet play that Al Pacino was doing on Broadway?
Was just getting slayed. Torn apart.
Just destroyed. Everyone's saying he's got teleprompters everywhere and the play's a mess and Mamet sort of abandoned him. And it's in his contract, you can't change any of the words. So they were stuck with this sort of unfinished work and... Pacino was struggling, and I don't blame anyone in particular, but it just seemed like a bad experience all the way around. This week, it's in black, and it's making all its initial investment back, and it's starting to make profits.
Is that right?
Which goes to show you put a star in something, people will show up. You're not going to miss an opportunity to see Al Pacino live on stage just because the play stinks. I guess that's the moral of the story. But the initial investment was only $3.7 million. Nothing. A mere pittance.
Yeah, that's very inexpensive for a Broadway play.
It's a one-man show. It's one set, so I guess that's why it's so inexpensive. But they made all the money back, and now they're making their profits. So you got that going for you.
Would you go see it, Ralph, if you were in New York?
Absolutely.
Even having heard how awful it is?
Absolutely. Right. An Al Pacino failure is more interesting to me than most successes.
My fear when
Because he's always interesting. Even when he's struggling, he's fascinating.
Yeah. My fear when you told that story originally is that he's losing it. As an actor, like he can't remember lines and stuff, and that would suck.
Well, I think at his age, not that he's that old, but a one-man show where you have to carry all the dialogue is a tremendous strain for a young actor. So I could see why he needed the work, but apparently the script itself is sort of problematic, and that seems to be holding everyone back even more so than the performance. But
he may be losing it, but he's not starring in Bad Grandpa or Dirty Grandpa or whatever that movie is, De Niro's
Dirty
in this weekend.
Grandpa, come on! He's a grandpa, but he's dirty.
Right.
He loves to party and have sex with young women at spring break.
De Niro just doesn't have an agent anymore or no
this
management?
This is my theory. This has got to be my theory.
All right.
Gambling. He's got to have a gambling addiction.
Oh,
a bad
really?
Gambling problem. Why else? Given his recent career choices, why else is he making these movies? I think he started playing Mahjong for money or something. Back around... Meet the Fockers, I'm guessing. Right around that era sometime, he started having some bad Mahjong losses. And now he's gotta earn. Because why else are you doing Dirty Grandpa? Yeah. You were freaking Vito Corleone.
Yeah. Right.
You were the taxi driver. You don't have to be slumming it with Zac Efron in a Hawaiian shirt.
No,
Shooting a t-shirt cannon. Come on, Bob.
And that last movie he did where he played an intern, remember? At a That one with Anne
Hathaway?
The
Intern, you mean?
Yeah. It's another weird choice, I thought.
That was a delightful movie.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
All
right. That's real talk right there, man.
Just saying. Bobby, if you need a loan, call a brother, you know?
Does a brother have the money to give him?
It depends on how bad his losses are. I don't know how much he's sinking in those Mahjong tournaments. He's in the Mahjong hole.
Stop saying Mahjong.
Especially with a hole attached to it.
No, so I'm not sure I know what a Mahjong is. Diane Drew once put a pipe in a guy's Mahjong hole, I understand. Today's celebrity birthdays. Diane Lane's 51 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff is 51. Whatever happened to the Fresh Prince? Does anyone know?
No. I don't think he's in show business anymore. I
heard from him. Did he say, yo, smell you later? And just took off?
Might have been. I'm guessing.
Steven Adler, former Guns N' Roses drummer, is 51. Guy Fieri is 48. Balthazar Getty is 41. And Christopher Masterson of the acting Masterson brothers, Danny and Christopher. He's 36. Christopher was Malcolm in the Middle, right?
Yes.
He was not in the middle, if I remember correctly.
No, he was the oldest.
He was on the outside.
Yeah, he went to military school,
that's
I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Marissa McKendall from Diamond Bar. Thank you so much for listening. You are going to go see some 21 Pilots this summer at the, I always forget, it's the Forum, right?
It's the Forum, yeah.
It's the Forum, and you are now qualified for the grand prize drawing that we will be doing on Monday. You're on the standby boarding list to see the band one more time in Tokyo, Japan. It's destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2016. By the way, just as an aside here, Kevin, I've received two different emails from listeners recently who won trips from K-Rock. Both of them sent emails after the trip to say it couldn't have gone any smoother. Everything
what?
Was first class.
What?
Everything was as advertised. The hotel was nice.
What?
The transportation was locked down. They had great seats for the concert. I mean, I was trying to figure out.
Was it a prank?
No, these were people who legitimately had a good experience with winning something from K-Rock. So I don't know who's in charge back there, but they've turned this sucker around, man.
Maybe we're just shipping it off to an outside company.
Maybe so.
Or fulfill.
Yeah.
Hello, right, congratulations. You have won a trip from K-Rock. May I direct your call, please?
I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because I saw an article last week. Now, bear in mind, as I tell you what this article is, bear in mind what happened to the Seattle Seahawks when they went to Carolina to play the Panthers. They lost, okay?
Yeah.
They did not move forward.
Right.
They are not playing in the NFC Championship game this weekend,
right.
Okay? So having said that, this article is all about the superstitions that Seahawks fans have that they insist on doing as good luck charms every day that there's a Seahawks game. And we are always fascinated. We haven't talked about this in a long time. For instance, here's one. A reader told us from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, a reader told us that the Hawks win every time she and her husband watch the game in different rooms. Football is a team sport, but maybe watching is a solitary endeavor.
That was now, the husband's idea, by the way.
Well,
we do better in other rooms.
I'm pretty sure that's what's doing it.
I'm going to go to my friend's room at his house.
One reader said on Instagram that she has a pair of lucky socks that she wears for every game.
Yeah.
Again, please remember, they lost, so clearly the socks aren't that lucky. Here's one. Know your enemy and their food. This is perhaps the most interesting game day ritual we heard. A reader on Twitter said he eats food relating to the opposing team's city. So, with the Panthers game coming up, the meal on the table for Sunday's game was going to be barbecued pork with a vinegar-based sauce. So, he feels like he's helping the Seahawks win by eating something that the Panthers would like.
He didn't eat enough, did he?
Well, I don't know.
Wait,
look.
Do Panthers like that kind of sauce?
That's what North Carolina is famous for, is their barbecued chicken and pork and things like that.
Stupid.
Why? What are you suggesting?
Yeah.
I thought he ate something
someone
like a
being
panther.
Racist here? What's going on here?
The animal? The panther likes sauce.
Oh, my God.
You didn't put the Carolina as well.
I'm really not feeling good.
We're just feeling worse.
That's a bit dense. Remember when the Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup, and my thing was eating, what were they?
Gummy bears.
Yeah. I would eat gummy bears every game. And I got to tell you, I hated gummy bears. But it was my responsibility as a fan to do my part.
Right. That's the point.
And
look,
then this
no one's
season,
saying that anything can make anything win 100%, but you have to do your part.
Everybody has to do their part. So this season, like a couple of weeks ago, I had, chocolate-covered raisins or something. And one of the guards looked at me and went, really?
Where are your gummy bears?
Like, do I have to eat gummy bears for the rest of my life?
Yes, dummy.
How does that work?
Because that's how it works.
That season. I mean,
did you eat gummy bears yesterday?
No.
And what happened?
Sick. I know.
Okay.
I know.
See? So it's on you.
Right. Yeah. It's my bad. Ralph, tell us some of the nonsense you used to do.
It's not nonsense.
You're the king of nonsense.
I got the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl.
Okay. How did you do that?
By taking my patented NFL football player helmet wrapping paper.
Right. I did not see that sentence ending with wrapping paper.
I'm with you so far.
I would find that week's opponent's helmet on the wrapping paper. I would carefully cut it out of the wrapping paper. I would then immerse it in water.
Okay.
In a Pyrex dish.
Mm-hmm.
I would mash it, crinkle it, sink it to the bottom of the Pyrex bowl.
Okay.
Spit on it.
You would spit on it?
Yes.
Okay.
Then take that bowl and put it in the freezer the night before the game to freeze our opponents. And with that, along with some things done by Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid, got us to the Super Bowl that
you
season.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Well, you were like five, right, when you did this?
Oh, this is...
This was
5 years ago?
2005.
Okay.
So even though it worked and they got to the Super Bowl, obviously you did not do the same thing again because they didn't win
or
the
did
Super
you
Bowl.
Forget? Did you let your team down by forgetting to do it?
Of course I didn't forget. But, as I said, you can only do your part. It's like if the offense is playing great that day, but the defense doesn't show up, you're not going to win a game. So I'm doing my part.
Okay, I see.
So I got him within 3 points, but, you know,
you got somebody else let him down.
At what point does McNabb step up his game and start doing the right thing?
Okay.
That's what I was screaming. I did my part.
Wow.
So you're contributing to the cause, but you can't do it all. There's no magic pill you can take. There's no wand you can wave that guarantees you a win. You can only do what you can do, and you have to do your part as a fan by fulfilling your obligation.
We're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067 if you have sports superstitions.
Remember the bowl of Eagles cereal I bought for the Super Bowl? I made Sports Illustrated.
You made Sports Illustrated?
Yes.
What?
You guys don't remember
Not
this?
Even a little bit.
There was the woman who was eating the Apple Jacks cereal, and magically in her bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles symbol appeared in the cereal.
Right.
And she was putting it up on eBay
to sell
for good luck.
Right.
And there were some Patriots fans who were threatening to buy the cereal bowl and bury it outside Gillette Stadium. So I swooped in and was the high bidder, and I own the bowl of magic Apple Jacks.
Oh, my God.
That there was an article in Sports Illustrated about that transaction, and they called me an idiot, basically.
They were right. You are literally the smartest dumb guy I know.
Well, thank you so much. Wait a minute.
Let's go to Brian in Redlands. Brian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You have a sports superstition?
Hello.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I've been listening since I was 5 years old.
Take it easy. All right. Thank you.
I have to wear the jersey of my soccer team in England, the exact jersey that they're wearing that day, every single game.
So if it's an away game, they have a different jersey, you wear that?
All three jerseys.
Okay.
For years and years and years. And when my wife told me that she was pregnant, she gave me a onesie of my soccer team.
To wear?
For my daughter.
Okay.
That would be hard to squeeze in.
How did you look at that?
Have you kept track on your winning percentage when you're wearing the correct jersey?
It's probably about 60-40. But we're in first place right now, so
see?
It doesn't really matter.
Oh, see?
60-40 to the plus.
All right.
All right. Thank you for the call, Brian.
He's doing his part. That's the thing.
Oh, okay.
Ralph, does it work?
Wow.
Brian, you're being very rude.
We do have to move on, Kevin.
You're being rude to our caller.
Do you want to say something else, Brian? Because we do have to move on.
Yes. Ralph Garman knows me from his podcast. He talked to my wife and I on our anniversary.
Okay.
And
this is why I was trying to get him off
the phone.
Okay,
my bad. It's on me, everybody.
Come on. Happy anniversary, Brian.
I'm sorry. Ralph, is it a numbers game in terms of if one team has 8,000 people who have a superstition that they're doing, but the other team has 9,000? Does the other team have an advantage in terms of the fan participation?
Of course not.
Of course not. Oh,
it's whether the superstition works or not. Look, if I stick peanuts up my butt
you know, oh, that's my superstition. It doesn't mean anything if it's not the right superstition.
But what if they start winning? See. If they win that game, now you have to
then
stick
you're
peanuts
committed
every...
to the peanuts. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Look, it's science.
Every it week. Is science.
Get in the all lab right. and do some work, people.
1-800-520-1067. Your sports superstitions, especially if you believe they work. We want to talk to you next on K-Rock. Talking about sports superstitions, if you've still got a team in the playoffs this weekend, what are you doing as a fan to make sure that your team has that edge out on the field? 1-800-520-1067. Of course, you can always text the show anytime at the number 2KROQ. Before we go back to the phones, Ralph, you've heard from some listeners, right?
Yeah, I got this quick email. I totally did wacky things like Ralph to help my team win, says this listener. I deflated footballs in the mad hope it would help my team win, and it worked. I also taped other teams' practices to learn their plays and calls. I know it sounds like lunacy, but my team won a bunch of Super Bowls, each by less than 4 points.
Wow.
Bill Belichick.
Oh,
see?
How about
so
that?
He's got
okay.
some superstitions
weighing in. That's
as well.
Cool.
That's great.
How about
well,
that? His superstitions have worked.
Look up Ideal Gas Law.
Cheating, whatever.
Feel free.
You know,
feel free.
You have it.
Let's go to Jeff in Laverne on line 4, please. He is up next. He is a New Orleans Saints fan. So let's see the lengths that he went to make sure his team won. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
What is your superstition?
Mike, I have a few of them.
Okay.
I went to New Orleans and got a New Orleans Saints voodoo doll.
Okay.
And basically what happens is there's a color-coded chart with different color pins. Black is negative, yellow is positive. And you take a picture of the team that you are playing, and you stick it with the pin.
All right.
And then the other one is when the Saints went to the Super Bowl, I would go and get a pick a player, Reggie Bush, 25, 2.5 pounds of carne asada. Drew Brees, 0.9 chicken asada. It worked.
It worked?
It worked.
That's awesome.
So that is awesome.
So you buy the weight in meat of the player's number on his jersey.
Absolutely.
I support
and
that.
And Ralph?
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph,
yes,
I still
yes,
got
sir.
My Rodney tattoo with the Eagle jersey on it on my leg.
Oh,
that's
you're
our Rodney
that Jeff.
Guy.
How about that? Awesome, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you for the call, and thank you for still listening after all these years, too. All right, let's go to line 8, Riverside. Let's get Nate on. He's got a sports superstition as well.
Hey, Nate.
How's it going?
Good. Superstition is what?
I've got a bunch of Packers stickers. I got a Packers license plate and all that stuff on the back of my car.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if we're playing, Arizona, and I see someone with the Cardinals sticker, I have to pass them.
Okay.
And possibly cut them off if I can.
Yeah. I see. All right.
And how did that idea?
And how did that work for you?
Not very good, unfortunately. Yeah. I didn't see anybody with the Arizona sticker.
Oh, that's what it was. See? Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. That's not his fault. He was prepared to do his thing, but he didn't that's get the true. Opportunity. Okay.
Yeah. It mostly right. happens to, like, Chargers fans and stuff.
Right. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate
safe
that.
And sane. That superstition. I love it.
Let's go to Hawthorne, line 7. I want to ask Gina how she is able to do this. This seems like it would be physically difficult. Gina, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Love you guys a bunch.
Thank you.
So, essentially, when I am in New York Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. I cannot drink alcohol and I cannot go pee.
What?
Period.
That's a long time to not pee. I assume you are drinking something, right? You're having water or soda or juice or something, right?
Water, soda, yeah, but no peeing. Absolutely.
Why?
Aren't games like 17 hours?
Yes.
Right. Here's
how did that start?
I have gone to a game where we've had a 6-run lead. I have to pee. I get up, go to the bathroom. While I'm in the bathroom, because, they pipe the game in.
Right.
In the bathroom. The opposing team has gone from a nothing to like an 8 or a 9-run game.
Yeah.
Overtaking us in the amount of time it takes to go pee.
Yeah. Okay. You so gotta, it's on you. You have to.
It
have
is your pee.
You've got a cursed bladder.
That's right. You got to have your eyes on the game.
How can you watch baseball and not drink, however? How can you can you physically watch the game and not just get loaded out of your mind so you don't have to bear it?
It is painful to not drink, but I will do what I need to do for the Yankees.
Okay, wow. She's a fan. That's why, Ralph.
You're better than Jeter.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you. Let's go to line 4. This is going to be Andy in L.A. We got time for just a couple of more sports superstitions. Andy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
What's up? Go Panthers.
How dare you?
Yeah. What's up, Kevin?
What's a superstition?
I set up a bunch of autographed memorabilia in front of my TV.
Okay.
I have an autographed Cam Newton helmet, mm-hmm. a bunch of autographed cards and all that stuff.
And you set them around your television set?
I set them in front of my TV. I don't know whenever they score.
That's a Maybe shrine.
It is a shrine.
Money on memorabilia, more on a phone.
Buy a phone.
Do you think?
By the way, of Major League. Remember when the guy's got the voodoo shrine inside the
that's Andy.
Locker,
that's right.
You know, and he blesses his bat.
Yeah. Andy, tweet that picture to Kevin this weekend.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. Okay.
I got those awesome dab shirts, like dab on them shirts. Yeah.
Sure. All right. You're all set.
We'll be dabbing on Arizona this weekend.
Dabbing on Kevin.
I got to tell you, the Arizona Cardinals put up Carson Palmer dabbing, and it just looked terrible. It was just awful.
Well,
he's very white. He's very white.
Seriously, don't do that.
All right, let's close with Eric in Long Beach, only because he's a Patriots fan, and let's find out what he's got. Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
Hi, Eric. Let's hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Allie. How
great.
Are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
What's your sports superstition, Eric?
All right, so I have this super special hat. 18-0 whenever I wear it. 0-4 when I don't, since I bought the hat.
Okay, let me just ask a question right here, then. Why would you not wear it?
Okay, so one time I was at the game in Denver, the snow game, so I was wearing a beanie because it was, 10 degrees out.
Pussy, go ahead.
Soft, soft.
Two games I was out of town.
Weak. So you can still wear a hat?
I didn't take it with me out of town.
Oh, soft.
And the game against the Eagles, Ralph, I forgot to wear it.
Wow. See? That is inexcusable.
Eric, I'm not happy with you right now.
Fail.
Hey. Epic I'm
fail.
Wearing it for the playoffs, though, and the Super Bowl. I fully expect to win another one.
Yeah, if you remember. All right.
It's not
I'll
cold.
I'll remember.
I'm
maybe
so
it's
going
to be too cold. I need something else besides that.
On my mucklucks.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I mean, they are definitely swimming uphill until, as you say, they start winning some championships.
That was a moment with Bean.
It has got to be so difficult to swim uphill, guys.
Can you
think about
swimming
that.
Uphill?
I have
so
seen
hard.
The water hills of West Virginia, and those poor people who live on the water hills, it's hard. It's a hard
That's
life.
Tough. That is tough. All right. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for an excellent week of Kevin and Bean shows. Take us out strong.
Easy.
Did you say these were excellent?
Easy.
I think so. I think we've had some laughs. We've had some fun. We got a chance to have Zach Galifianakis in this week. I thought that was really fun.
Okay.
So our friend Chris Carter was on today. We enjoyed him very much.
Yeah.
In general, I think it's been a pretty fun week.
And I was only here for about half of it, so I like
right?
it. Are you assuming most people don't hear most of the show, so you can say that in retrospect and have and fool them into believing it was an excellent week?
Most people don't hear most of the
right.
show.
Right.
I'm not trying to misrepresent, Ralph.
I am. We had a great week. You should have listened more.
Okay.
Fundamentals. How are you celebrating, Bean?
Celebrating.
Okay.
Celebrating.
It's Hawaii 5-0 day.
Is it?
On this day in 1968, Hawaii 5-0 debuted on television screens.
I am angry at myself that I did not know that.
Hit yourself in the face right now. Do it. Hit yourself in the face!
I'm not going to do that, but tell me more. What year did it debut, Ralph?
Kevin's like the world's worst dominatrix. When did it debut?
I'm on NyQuil.
Yeah. What year?
Today in 1968.
You just said that. Okay. And shouldn't you know you're the super fan?
I do know.
Well,
68
then why would
to
you ask?
I got a lot of cough medicine in me right now, and my brain is swimming uphill.
You're
for
swimming
reals.
Uphill?
It really is. But only my favorite show of all time.
I know. That's why I brought it up. I know you and Jack Lord have a special relationship.
Sure. We do. And I had my dog, the late Chin Ho, was named after a character on Hawaii.
Sure, right.
Yeah, sure.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the reboot, though. It's fine. It doesn't have, for me, it doesn't have the charm.
So much better.
Well, it doesn't have Jack's hair. Jack Lord had that hair.
The reboot is so much better than the original.
Jack Lord, Hawaii 5-0 was like if Elvis was a cop.
Exactly.
That show was like just a big... Just dyed jet black mound of hair with a badge was basically what that show
Book
was.
Book of Dano, and that's all they said.
That's all they said over and over again. It's good
should
stuff.
I tell Allie? I don't think she probably knows the story that Ralph referenced about my unique relationship with Jack Lord. Should I tell the story real fast? Or
please.
Please
do.
I think you'll love it.
She'll like it.
So I'm on Hawaii in vacation, and I read in the book that there's a statue dedicated to the great Jack Lord, who lived on the islands for many, many years before and after the show. He was a huge philanthropist, very popular on the island. So they built a statue of him. So I did the best I could to get close to it, but I couldn't see it and I couldn't find it. So I got out of my car and I started walking around and going into stores and talking to people on the street. Where's the Jack Lord statue? And they're like, I don't have any idea. go inside another building. Where's the Jack Lord's? Never heard of it. So finally, after like 30 minutes of trying to find this Jack Lord statue, it's like behind a dumpster at a shopping mall. There's this Jack. And I walk up and there it is, finally the statue. And it's a bust of Jack Lord. And then it says on a plaque on front of it, Jack Lord, he will never be forgotten.
That's right. By everyone around his statue.
And so people say Bean doesn't know how to live.
See?
Right? There were people who were 100 feet from that Jack Lord statue had never heard of it.
Asshole.
He's not. No, that's not appropriate at all. But anyway, it was. It did remind me of life is for the living, man. They, when you're dead, they forget you.
Yeah.
Back to you, Ralph.
LeBron James has a new TV show. He is developing a new TV series about two former pro football quarterbacks who are bitter rivals but end up hosting a TV sports show together.
Like a sports center type thing?
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Now We're Talking. We'll star Tommy Dewey and Tug Coker as the players turn talk show hosts, along with other professional athletes who will make cameo appearances in the show.
All right.
It's a clever idea, I think.
Sure. I like it.
Good work, LeBron James.
And he just blew me away in Trainwreck.
So good in Trainwreck.
So great. Good in that.
You know who else is, and this isn't going to make some people happy, but you can tell he's got charisma to burn, is Cam Newton in that, I don't even know what the product is for, in the commercial where Greg Olson is sitting in his lucky soak tub, and he comes up and they're drinking that sports drink or whatever. Yeah. And he says, "You're in my lucky tub. My tub, your tub. It's all right. You brought this on yourself." And he climbs into the tub with Greg Olson.
He's wearing the headphones. He can't hear him.
He's pretending like he can't hear him. Greg Olson, that bastard. But anyway, just an easy charm, and he delivers it. The lines well, and he's just. I think this guy has a future after the game. He's got a lot to offer. He seems like a very likable guy. I think he's going to be one of those sports stars who goes on to be a large personality.
Well, he's got a million watt smile. That's for sure.
Especially when they win the Super Bowl.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I'm calling it now. I'm calling it. Book it.
Booking nothing.
Book it. Dano. We're back to that again. And talking about unlikely TV stars, Marilyn Manson is acting again. He is set to guest star on Salem, which begins its third season this April.
Salem?
That's a show. That's for real.
Is that USA or one of those
networks? WGN.
WGN.
It's a series about the Massachusetts town, of course, and what really fueled the infamous witch trials. And so Marilyn Manson will guest star as the town's barber/surgeon.
Stop it.
Not one of those.
That's true. Well, that's what, back in the olden times,
that right?
That's what doctors were. They were also the barbers. You can go in for a shave. You can go in for a bloodletting. If you had the fever, they would either put some leeches on you or drain your blood. And that's how they would cure you back in ye old olden times.
I'm glad I don't live then.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you go to get a shave and the guy's got the wrong chart. Next thing you know, he's opening
a
vein.
A haircut.
Right. Next thing you know,
missing an arm.
You're bleeding out. So, Manson, going to be on Salem. You can check that out if you're so inclined.
You're so good on Sons of Anarchy. So good.
I wonder if he still thinks I'm a narc.
He did at one point to Ralph and say, "Is that a narc?
Yeah, is that a cop? Is that a cop?
Is that
guy a cop?
Ralph, there's a reason you've been cast to play so many police officers. You do have cop hair.
Or...
you're cop-ish.
Or he was confused because he was such a fan of NYPD Blue. It just...
That's
I made such an impression on him that subconsciously he thought, my God.
That's probably
that man
I've seen
can't
that
be
dude
an
in
actor.
Uniform.
He can't be an actor.
Right. Too good.
He's too good.
Right.
Too believable.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Masterson. Of the acting Mastersons is 36. Someone sent me an email reminding me not only Christopher and Danny, but their sister is also an actress. She's on, I want to say, Walking Dead, I think, maybe?
Oh.
Anyway, Balthazar Getty is 41.
A lot of good details in that email.
Yeah, I didn't bring it in with me.
Dave said it is Walking Dead.
See, there you go. Guy Fieri, the celebrity TV chef, is 48. Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses turns 51. DJ Jazzy Jeff is also 51. And Diane Lane celebrates her 21st birthday today. She's Mama Superman now. Right? Isn't she? Wasn't she Mama Kent in Man of Steel?
I don't know.
Anything? This ringing a bell? Nothing?
Nobody? Not much is ringing a bell with me today.
Yeah, I suppose not.
Yeah.
You and Scissorp up there in the UK.
Dean said
we got early onset over here.
I don't know what's happening today.
She thinks Willis means Jeff Bridges.
Dean said, and I quote,
Panthers eat steak or whatever she thought.
I drank a whole bottle of cough syrup today during the show.
I love the taste.
That's for another time.
Yeah, I know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Let's go home.
Let's heal up.
Monday morning. Healthy. We have Andrew Siciliano on the program. We also have Dave Duchovny on the program from the X-File.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I like it. The country music is so good.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
But you're wrong.
Roll another one.
Kevin gave, he gives everybody herpes.
Just like the other one.
What is going on?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great story.
I need another hit.
Who's gonna pay for the wall? Who's gonna pay for the wall? Who's gonna pay for that wall?
Roll another one.
He was kind of a dick.
Just like the other one.
What are you going to do for 69?
This one seems to be about to end.
I'm in a boner.
I don't have another cent.
Anyway, 106.7 K-Rock Carol Q.
Quite rude. Asshole.
God damn it, I love pot.
Yeah, right. Just pass it on down.
Okay. Well, that was really something.
Sorry, man. It's over. Some battles you just can't win.
Oh my god, I hate us. Let's go.
Anyway, I'm out of here. Head down Fairfax and try to dodge the potholes, which one of the potholes cost me over $400 already. I wish they'd fix Fairfax Avenue. I don't know what's going on.
That's too bad. It's a very unsatisfying way to go out, don't you think?
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Am I?